much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Many people have smoked marijuana. Many have seen marijuana, but very few people have ever heard marijuana.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Please, man, I want to smurf you like you've never been smurfed before. And when you smurf, you're going to smurf my name so loud that everybody's going to go, oh, smurf. And then when it's time for me to smurf, I'm going to smurf on your smurfs. And then once you lift my smurf off your smurfs, and then next time you're going to say, oh, I want you to smurf me in the smurf. And then I'll smurf you in the smurf, and you're going to love it, baby.
What are you talking about?
My first memory is I just love the buffets in Las Vegas. I love the flan. It has a lot of sugar. And it's tastes less fattening because it's European dessert. And then I just like some of the syrup, flan syrup.
And now.
You think it's going well?
No.
Our feature presentation.
What's up, party people? First of all, I miss Doto. I can't find him. I did reach out when we spoke about him a couple of weeks ago. No word from the toe. I don't know where Doe is.
Just not anything at all?
Not responding, yeah. I mean, you know, he's Doe, so he could be dead in jail. I mean, there could be any number of possibilities. But usually you do at least hear back. You know, usually he'll send me back the I'm Hong Kong or something like that. Just give me an update on where he might be. But we are still working on that. But welcome in, party people. It is a Thursday, brand new Kevin and Bean show. Kevin not included.
Yeah.
What?
we can just
wait for him, I guess. Mm. I got to get me one of those jobs where you just come in whenever you want.
Yeah, I didn't think this was one of those jobs.
I didn't either. I had no idea. I thought we had a, you know, my understanding, and we got to check on this with management, was that there was a set start time.
Yeah. And you really needed to be here for that.
Like you're supposed to be on at a certain time, but I guess I didn't read that right. Or
I've had jobs where you could wander in 5 or 10 minutes late.
Well, there are flex jobs, too, where they don't really care if you do your work from 10 to 4
right.
Or if you do your work from noon to 8 or if you want to work overnight, you can as long as you get your stuff done. But this, I don't know, for some reason, this didn't seem like one of those jobs.
Maybe he starts the show at his house. And we just don't know it.
Imagine how hilarious his half of the show is right now. We don't even know it. That's
an
excellent point.
I hate missing that.
Well, it's a shame he's not here yet because he would very much enjoy this story. I'm firmly against, and I've said many times, you can check the tape, I'm against Hitler. I know that Kevin loves Hitler. Kevin is for Hitler. But I don't care for him. I think he was a bad man, and I know that that may be controversial with some people, but I am not down with Adolf Hitler.
You're going to get a lot of hate mail, but go ahead.
I know. Look, I'm brave to come out and say that, but
yes,
Kevin adores Hitler. I mean, Beerbach, how many Der Fuhrer tattoos does he have on his body?
I think he just got his 7th.
Right. I think it's about 7. Yeah, he's got the swastika in the middle of his forehead. I mean, the guy just worships the Third Reich. So that's why I'm sad that he's not here for this story. A man in Orange, California, is auctioning off 2 oil paintings of Adolf Hitler's parents that once hung in Hitler's home. Apparently, they were taken from the home in the early 1970s by a soldier who came across them and were in storage for a number of years. And now they have been taken out and they have been restored and they're going up for auction. Now, I get that Hitler is a famous person. I get that there is some fascination with him, not because of his good works, but because of his place in history in World War II. I understand that he is somebody that a lot of people are interested in. Who are the people who are going to buy oil paintings of his parents?
Well, I do know there are people who, and you know this, who collect memorabilia from them. Like there are plates that were actually produced at that time and being used. There's all sorts of things that you can collect from that. It's Nazi memorabilia.
Oh, no, I understand. I know there's an awful lot of that. In fact, when I was in Wisconsin, I was in an antique store in Wisconsin, and I saw a whole display case of medals and flags and pins from German uniforms. And I sort of get that. But Hitler's parents, aren't you getting pretty far removed from the battlefield at that point?
Yeah, you are. It's hard to imagine.
I don't know why you would want a picture, you know, and it seems like their eyes would follow you around the room, too. I don't know. There'd be something creepy about Hitler's parents, but they're, you know, actual oil paintings that were done at the time and were hanging in Adolf Hitler's home. They are expected. They're being auctioned off the first week of September. They are expected to go for $100,000.
Wow.
The 2 portraits. So there must be people who are way more into that than I would imagine.
Not that it would always be too soon in this particular situation, but I was going to say for comedy, but not for $100,000.
No, not for $100,000. I mean, imagine people walk into your house. They go, hey, who are the old people? Well, you know, well, Hitler's folks, Clara and Alois. I think we have a Hitler collector on the line right now.
Okay.
Kevin?
I didn't say I loved Hitler. I said he was misunderstood.
That's what it was. I'm sorry. I don't know. I saw the tattoos, and I thought maybe it was some sort of an endorsement.
And I have seen one of those paintings at Jesse James' house.
Oh, man.
I'm not surprised. Now, here's part two of my exhaustive Hitler story, and you're going to love this one, Kevin. For several weeks now, the Wood Green Animal Shelter in Britain has not been able to adopt out the cat, and this is a kitten, actually, that looks like Adolf Hitler. This is a cat that has a little black patch of fur above his mouth, making it look like he has a Hitler mustache. 6 weeks, this poor little kitten, who, by the way, has been dubbed Kittler.
Oh.
Kittler has been unwanted for weeks at the animal shelter because of the distinctive creepy mustache that reminds people of Hitler. They could not find anyone to adopt this dog, which is just so sad because this poor kitten just blew the genetic lottery by ended up with a little patch of fur that made it look like it had a Hitler mustache. So finally,
how do you know it's not reincarnation?
Well, I mean, I guess there's a possibility of that. But I was thinking, isn't there a whole website of cats who look like Hitler? Isn't
yes.
that a thing? Don't lots of people have cats that look like Hitler? Why would this one have so much trouble being adopted, I wonder?
I don't know. But now that the word's out, I bet someone will adopt it and put
now
it right
that the
online.
Word is, now that the word, yeah, you're right about that, resale. Now that the word is out, the animal shelter has received more than 500 telephone calls and emails from all over the world, and they have settled on an interested family that is going to be adopting the cat, and they have renamed the cat. It is no longer Kittler. Now the cat is going to be known as Luminous. Luminous is the cat's name.
Adolf would have been funnier, but okay.
First name, Adolf.
Well, maybe so, but very, it must have been so sad for Kittler there in the animal shelter to see all the other cats come in and 2 days later they're out the door and poor little Kittler is just sitting there being all sad with his Hitler mustache.
It's just unfair.
So I can't believe Kevin didn't buy the paintings and didn't get the cat. I'm surprised by both of those. So you're coming in at some point or what's the plan here?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I think I may just wander around for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm guessing 7:30 or 8.
Okay. All right, well, we'll hang up now and let you not get a ticket for this as well.
All right, bye.
Bye.
See you. Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show.
It's a horrible idea.
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be okay. In fact, speaking of Dr. Drew, he's going to be joining us. Have you caught up with Celebrity Rehab, Lisa?
Oh, I watch that every Sunday night religiously.
Dr. Drew throws the worst parties. His dinner yes. party where the police show up because guests are threatening to kill each other is one of the worst parties I've ever seen. He's a terrible host.
And people just get up and walk out in the middle of his speech. That's really bad.
You got somebody breathing into a paper bag in the kitchen trying not to vomit. Yeah. You got somebody else trying to kill somebody. He's a terrible host. So we'll talk to Dr. Drew about everything going on in his crazy life on the way. Also, the beautiful Kat Von D is going to be joining us in studio talking about the new season of L.A. Inc., assuming she doesn't cancel.
She'll be here.
How about a new Wheel of Bad Animal Voices on the program today? We got a couple of heavyweight champions for you coming up next hour, including our friend Tito Ortiz. He is the headline fight at UFC 133 in Philadelphia this weekend. He's there training now, so we'll speak with Tito coming up in about a half an hour. The real Mike Tyson is going to be joining us next hour, too.
What?
Dave's close personal Twitter friend Mike Tyson is going to be joining
us. That's hilarious.
Yes, he is involved in what sounds like a terrible new CBS show, so we'll discuss that and maybe pigeons and whatever else he's got going on.
Okay.
And let me see. There we got that. And also we're going to talk about arranged marriages on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Believe it or not, one of our interns, not the one that hates me, but another intern, is going to join us on the show to talk about the arranged marriage that he was practically forced into, that he managed to not do, but lots of people apparently still in the 21st century are involved in arranged marriages.
In this country.
In America.
That's right. The amazing part.
Yeah. So, and I have a friend who was part of an arranged marriage
wow.
as well, who's been happily married for many, many years. And it seemed completely normal to him from his culture. And he loves it and has no problem with it and doesn't think he would have done better on his own.
Maybe we're missing the boat, people.
Maybe so. So anyway, all of that coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on an all new Kevin and Bean show. And that's next.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 551.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday, now with Kevin at it. I know that Ralph enjoys your stories as much as I do, so tell him what you were telling us about how your day has been going so far.
Well, I'm going to Chicago today.
I am going to Chicago.
And I'm leaving from here, so I had to remember everything. So I packed, and I was all happy with myself, and I left on time.
Well, good for you that you thought ahead, you packed everything you needed, and you left on time.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Got about a mile from home, and,
right?
and I realized, wallet.
That would be part of my checklist, I think, if I were going on a trip. I would put that on my list.
I don't do checklists very well.
Well, mental checklists. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
I don't mean to insult you.
So I had to turn around and go back and get my wallet. Of course, you can't. And then I left again. I got a mile away, and I thought, cell phone. What did I do with my cell phone?
Again, that would be one of the things I made sure I had before I left.
Because you got to communicate. Texting is the only way to communicate at a concert like that.
Or, you know, just to call people when you're on the road.
Sure.
Family and whatnot.
There's that, yeah. So I had to turn around and go back and search the house for the cell phone. I finally found that.
Well, it's good.
Then
you
I
had
got
everything.
Back
you had
car.
Everything you needed in order to get to work on time and completely.
Yeah, I had everything that I needed. But then by that point, it was way too late
right.
because I had left on time the first time.
Right. And then when you got to the gate here at the studio.
Well, then I just wanted company. So I had somebody come out and let me in.
It wasn't because you lost your key card, because you couldn't swipe it and have the gate open to get in
no,
the parking
no.
lot.
No,
no.
What that are you talking about?
Reason.
No.
Oh,
no.
I need a file cabinet.
So you left for work three times today.
Yes.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
And you also know that feeling of, if I forgot my wallet and I forgot my cell phone, there's probably a list of about 10 of the things I forgot.
I think when you get to wherever you're going, anytime you open up your suitcase, there's like one shoe and like one of your wife's belts in there and like some canned goods that are already open. I mean, it just must look like a lunatic has packed your bag.
I'm not overly organized, if that's what you're saying.
That's what I'm guessing.
Kevin packs the first 10 things he sees in the room. That's how he packs. Yeah. Might be a lamp, might be a clock radio.
TV remote.
Whatever
coasters.
He sees. A dog.
Empty soda can. Whatever he finds.
Your wife still pins your name and phone number onto your outfit when she sends you out on the road.
She would, but she's not home this week. So
oh, that's the problem.
You're screwed. Okay. So I'm on my own, and I'm trying to figure out life, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you made it. We have an office pool as to what the reason is going to be today, but we were wondering. All right, Tito Ortiz is fighting Saturday night in Philadelphia.
That's correct.
Yeah.
UFC 133. We're going to talk to Tito coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Now, time for the Showbiz People Ralph.
Well, can we say 133?
No, 133. No, you guys say 133.
Nobody says 133 except Bean.
I say 133.
No one says that.
Oh, okay.
Just 133.
I say 100 plus 30 plus 3, usually. That's how I go.
It had a certain rhyme factor that I like the sound of it together. UFC 133.
Right, and you're the only one that does that, though. You know that.
It doesn't matter. I think it's abundantly clear what I'm referring to.
133.
Reno 911.
No, he calls it 911.
Oh, that's so strange.
Got a better ring.
You don't have Jerry Lewis to kick around anymore.
Why?
The chairman of the MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association, announced yesterday that Jerry would not be appearing on this year's telethon at all.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
They were talking about Jerry in a reduced role, and Jerry himself, when he was talking to the Television Critics Association, said he was going to hold a press conference after this year's telethon to announce his plans and how he planned to continue to work with the MDA, but they've stepped in and kind of made that decision for him.
Well, he's had a lot of health problems, and he's very, very old, and no one watches the telethon.
How dare you, sir? He's
right?
trying to make kids walk, and here you are just pooping all over the man.
And he had a stroke, right? That was his stroke?
Jerry?
Yeah.
No, not that I know
so.
Of.
He had some sort of illness, though. Remember, he was on medication, and he really blew up for a
long
time.
He was on steroids, which made him his head swell like a pumpkin, but he never had a stroke.
But that was over 10 years ago. I mean, he's been fine since then.
He's lost his head weight since then. We're still waiting for Kevin to lose his head weight.
How dare you?
Was Samantha Ronson just destined for a DUI? That's what her friends are saying.
Meaning she did it a lot?
Well, her behavior recently has been what friends are calling erratic. She's been boozing it up more than usual, staying out very late, and this is when you knew she was in trouble. Her ex-girlfriend, Lindsay Lohan, said to friends she was going to minimize her contact with Samantha because she simply wasn't a good influence.
Wow.
Yeah. If Lindsay Lohan says, wow, you're partying a little too hard for me, I'm going to have to step away. You know you're going through some S right there.
Kate Moss likes to party as well.
Yes, she does.
I don't know if you saw the photos yesterday online or not, but it was Kate vacationing in Saint-Tropez off the coast on her yacht with her daughter, Lila Grace, enjoying herself, just hanging out on the boat in nothing but her bikini bottoms, just letting the girls get some sun. Everybody was very titillated by it.
That's good, but she strikes me as...
She doesn't have much to offer.
Yeah. I don't know that that helps.
I can understand why she wouldn't wear a top, because it'd be no different than any other guy taking off his t-shirt. On the
exactly, yeah.
Exactly.
Ryan Reynolds says he thinks Atlanta is cursed. Atlanta, Georgia.
He thinks it's cursed.
He did not have a good time in Atlanta while he was filming The Change-Up. Apparently, first day of shooting, his trailer caught on fire while he was filming. Then the home he was staying in, he had a rented home he was staying in while he was filming down there, got flooded 2 days later.
Wow.
His marriage to Scarlett Johansson broke up while he was down there in Atlanta. His dog got very sick, and he broke his pinky finger. Atlanta is not his kind of town.
That is a lot. A lot of bad.
And Miley Cyrus wants to make everyone aware that she is now a homeowner. Miley Cyrus, let me see, what's her age? Oh, that's right, 18 years old.
Yeah.
She just bought a home that has 5 bedrooms, 7 bathrooms, a pool, surround sound, 10 parking spots.
10?
For guests. She picked it up for a mere $4 million. At least she's a bargain shopper.
Wow.
Are you guys watching Torchwood Miracle Day?
Yes.
No.
Good. Good series.
I really like it.
Yeah. Lauren Ambrose from Six
yes.
Feet Under. You may remember the redheaded little girl, little daughter of that Fisher family on that show. She's all grown up now, and she is on Torchwood. Looking hot, by the way.
Yeah, I think so,
too. She's got that long red hair, that porcelain skin. She looks terrific.
Just funny, I saw her, and I was like, I know her from somewhere.
Sure,
you
don't know where.
Just place it?
Yeah. Well, she looks considerably different than she did when she was on Six Feet Under. She's grown up now, and she has just been announced. She's going to be the star of Funny Girl on Broadway, big Broadway production of the musical that made Barbra Streisand a star back in 1964. This is the first time they've done a Broadway production of that musical since Barbra Streisand. So Lauren Ambrose getting her big break on Broadway.
Why the rush?
Which I'm happy to see. Yeah, I don't know why no one's done a revival of Funny Girl. They've done a revival of every show that's ever been on Broadway.
It does seem like it. I got a couple episodes behind on Torchwood. Still have it on my DVR, but then I heard that it was likely it wasn't coming back for another season. I thought, I don't even want to get invested if that's the case. I don't even want to start watching the rest of it.
People like you, man. I didn't hear that rumor that it's not coming back.
I didn't either. I heard it was a one-off. It's like a British series where they tell an entire story in one season.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That makes me feel better about it, because then at least you get some sort of a conclusion. I've just been burned too many times with the fast forwards and shows like that where you get into them and then they're gone.
No, this is a BBC production. I think they've always announced it's going to be a Torchwood story contained in one season's worth of episodes.
Oh, that might be worth checking out again then.
I think I just saw the most recent one last night. I was catching up, and boy, it's really fascinating.
This is a good show.
And I watched the old Torchwood, and apparently they're trying to tie it in somehow with his past. Some villain from his past is putting the world through this thing. I don't want to spoiler alert, but and I'm now desperately trying to go through my Rolodex in my mind, trying to figure out who it could be, because he's battled some impressive villains.
You can get the original ones being like on iTunes or something, the original Torchwood.
They're great, too. And now Heather Mills is complaining that she believes that her phone messages were hacked by the London Daily Mirror back in 2001. No, it's not a joke.
Not yet.
The Daily Mirror is part of the Mirror Group, which is not part of News International, which owns the News of the World, but they're saying she's saying that they used similar techniques trying to get stories about her and Paul McCartney back when they were married by tapping her phones. She said even worse, they bugged her leg. And I think that's really... That microphone down there.
It's rough.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Billy Bob Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
He's 56 years old today. Think he ever gets tired of hearing that? You ever think that
Sling
Blade voice?
I do.
He probably enjoys it. He seems like a guy with a great sense of humor. You can kid around with him a lot. When you're doing an interview, whatever, you can just bring up anything, and he just rolls with the punches. He strikes me as that kind of guy.
I agree.
So,
except for that voice.
If he was here, I'd go, mm-hmm. So tell me about your latest project, Billy. Mm-hmm. He'd probably say, oh, that's funny. Probably. And then if he was talking about his music, I'd talk about his acting career. And he'd probably like that.
He would love it.
Probably say, I wouldn't ask that if Tom Petty.
No doubt.
I've been stalling and vamping for a week now. Give me something.
I'm having trouble. All I came up with was the sling blade thing. Next hour,
Richard Belzer, actor and comedian, is 67 years old today. He's got one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, shut up. You don't get to do that now.
Richard Belzer has one ball. Did you know that?
Did not.
Yeah.
Right.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
Daniel Day Kim is 43 years old today.
He, of course, have lost, and now Hawaii 5-0.
I've never met him.
Dylan and Cole Sprouse. They were the kids on Big Daddy and the movie Big Daddy and Grace Under Fire. They're now 19 years old today. And the president of these United States of America, Barack Obama, celebrates his 50th birthday today. Happy birthday, B.O.
It goes by B.O.,
that's what we call him up at the White House.
Western White House.
Oh. You know. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Huntington Beach Bad Boys. Tito Ortiz. Great job done by Tito. Tito catches Chuck with a right.
Wow, Tito Ortiz, you smell good. How do you do it?
With Big Man deodorant. When it comes to body odor, it kicks butt.
Tito is swinging for the fences.
Tito has a great look in his eyes. The old Tito is back.
Tito's conditioning is second to none. His work ethic is second to none.
I'm always just looking for, you know, great fights and the biggest fights out there.
Tito wades in with a big right hand.
Look at the smile on the face of Ortiz. Tito's starting to have fun. Starting to look like the Tito of old.
This camera's been really, really special. It's, God, I'm supposed to be the bad boy. Bad boy's not supposed to have tears.
Ortiz.
Kevin, Bean, how you guys doing?
We are good. How are you?
Good, man. Actually, I was in a pre-warm-up media workout, so kind of just doing a little extra work.
Speaking of the pre-warm-up, of course, we're talking about UFC 133 happening this weekend. You're in Philadelphia right now. Is that one of the cities that has been subject to 150 degrees all year?
Yeah, it was until I got here. You know, I kind of brought in Cali weather, I guess. It's, 85 degrees outside, nice. I guess it's been about 100 degrees outside, so I guess I brought the Cali weather out here.
You don't do much training outside anyway, so I guess it only matters going to and from. I mean, most of what you're doing is inside, right?
Yeah, pretty much everything is. You know, even when I fight in the Octagon itself, of course, inside. But, you know, I actually get down here at the Bernard Hawkins Gym in Philadelphia, getting a little pre-warm-up. Just doing some press, and, of course, I took a little time out of my training session to talk to you guys, man. I appreciate your support.
I want to talk about your last fight, Ryan Bader, because everybody, Dana White included, was saying It was a win or retire situation. Did you feel like that before the fight?
Not at all. I'm healthy. I have no problems wrong with my body at all. I feel very focused. It's just one of those things that my back is pressed against the cage, and I had to fight out of it. As Dana White says, I fight the best when my back's pressed against the wall, and it was. I knew I was going to win. I just had to prove a lot of people right who had my back and really just go in and fight my heart out.
Were you surprised that you won in the first 2 minutes?
I was surprised. You know, I expected a war from Bader, but it was one of those things that I was prepared. You know, I did all the preparation before, mentally, physically, emotionally, to go in and do my job. And that was to entertain and give people what their pay-per-view dollars worth and take out Ryan Bader, being the number five contender in the world.
I read in an interview that you almost didn't believe that it was already ending, so you almost didn't dive in and go for the choke. Because it sort of seemed like it was an out-of-body experience and everything was slowing down. Is that what it felt like?
Yeah, you know, I mean, when I hit him with the punch, it was really slow. I mean, he was punching at me and everything was really slow, but it was one of those things that when I hit the choke, I didn't want to let go of it, you know? I kind of felt like that dog who hasn't eaten for a month, and for once I was able to eat, and I wasn't letting go of my meal. You know, I had a submission, and I wasn't letting go. The referee had to rip me off, literally.
Let me ask you this, Tito. It's kind of a piggyback on what Kevin's question is. I mean, you believed, and you're a great competitor and a former champion, you believe every time you go out there that you're going to win. But did your confidence at all get shook up when you had that string of a few fights in a row where you didn't win? Was there ever a point where you sat down and thought, maybe I am nearing the end, or did you always know you'd come back?
I have a belief in myself of knowing that I'd come back. You know, there is that little self-doubt for a second. But, you know, all the support I get from my fans on Twitter at Tito Ortiz, on my website, punchmat.com, who support me and give me, you know, the focus to go in and fight in the cage. I'm very, very thankful. When I stepped in the cage, I knew I was going to win. You know, there was a little bit of doubt, I think, a couple months before, but the camp just went so well during training that I was focused, man. I was ready to fight. I was going there and to get my best.
The other thing that's worth mentioning is even in the fights that you didn't win, you never get knocked out. I mean, it's always a decision. So that way, at least you know you're bringing at least what the other guys got.
Yeah, you know, and I was competing against guys who were former world champions and who were number one contenders, and I was competing and losing, you know, a split decision, a couple of split decisions, a couple of decisions, and just little small things that would have made a difference that I would have won the fight. But like I said, when I fought Ryan Bader, I was healthy, no problems at all. And once again, right now that I'm fighting Rashad Evans this Saturday night on August 6th, I'm healthy once again. I'm ready to come in and compete.
Tell us about your last fight with Rashad Evans.
The last fight we had, it was back in 97. I wasn't 100%. You know, I had major, major back problems. I was right before my back surgery. But it was a competitive fight. You know, we ended up going to a draw. He's, you know, a former world champion now. You know, at the time, I guess he was a little younger. But now he's a little older, a little more mature, and he's a better fighter now. And I'm a better fighter now. And I'm a lot stronger, no health problems. So I think it's going to be a really, really great fight this Saturday night on August 6th.
You're both fighting at 205 pounds, right? Are you cutting or is he cutting weight?
Yeah, I'm cutting. I'm cutting from 225 down to 205.
Is that ever a difficult thing from a fighter's perspective? I know a lot of people say that you kind of run out of energy, you don't get enough fluids, that kind of stuff.
Well, I think it really comes down to boxers. Boxers have that problem. I mean, me coming from a wrestling background, college pedigree, it was really, I have it down to a science. You know, I cut 20 pounds per weight, and I make it without any problem, any doubt in my steps, so I know when I step in and I compete, I really have the opportunity to go in and compete at my best level.
This is the voice of Tito Ortiz, of course, on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about UFC 133 Saturday night in Philadelphia. I know it's never good advice to look past the fight you've got next, but, I mean, do you foresee a day where you'll get back to being the champion of the world?
Well, I guess on Saturday night, it's going to have to show and prove who I am and what I want to do with my career. You know, I have a guaranteed two more fights after this. So right now, my mind is getting that gold back around my waist. You know, of course, for Orange County, a lot of Latinos that listen to my, are watching my fights to really support and show that all Americans, you know, if you go to any type of major surgery, you're able to come back and be a world champion. That's my goal.
By the way, the surgeries that you went through, too, most fighters stop fighting at that point.
Let alone fighters, but athletes in general. You know,
right.
I had two-level fusion in my lower back, L4-5, S1 fused. Then a year later, I had C6, C7 in my neck fused. And I'm very, very lucky to come back. You know, I had a great surgeon, Dr. Warren Smith, out of Las Vegas, who did the surgeries. Like I say, I'm very, very thankful, and God has blessed me for sure.
Did you have to change your fighting style at all because of those surgeries?
In the beginning, I did. You know, I couldn't wrestle as much. Even now, I can't wrestle as much. I mean, of course, college wrestling, high school wrestling, it's really tough on the body.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I've been doing it for 22 years, and I really come out of those aspects of just going in and get as much as I can out of training. And once I go in and get stuff out of training, when it's fight time, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready to compete.
Well, we've been lucky enough to talk to you over the years and a lot of your UFC colleagues, and the one thing we've learned is you guys can obviously do things physically that we can't do, but it never ceases to amaze me the mental game that you guys are playing and how you're able to get up for the job you chose. I mean, it's incredible, Tito. We wish you nothing but the best at UFC 133. Go get him, man.
Hi, man. Thank you. And all my supporters out in California. I appreciate your support in L.A., Orange County. I appreciate it. You guys watch this today. It's called a local pay-per-view provider for UFC 133, Evans versus Ortiz, and of course, follow me on Twitter, at Tito Ortiz.
Fantastic. Thank you, Tito.
All right, thanks, guys. I appreciate it so much.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. This is our heavyweight hour. We had Tito Ortiz, former light heavyweight UFC champion of the world a few minutes ago. Mike Tyson, former heavyweight boxing champion of the world, joins us in about 15 minutes or so. And right now, some heavyweight BS from a LA city commissioner. I can't believe this interview that you were about to hear. This is an exclusive from KCBS television in Los Angeles. Channel 2 caught up with this guy. He's a city commissioner who has been accused of having child porn on his computer. But he explains it's not his fault, Kevin, because he has a medical condition.
But it's a crime to possess these images. Do you understand that?
Absolutely. CBS 2 News has learned that L.A. City Commissioner Albert Abrams is under investigation by the FBI for possessing hundreds of images of child pornography. And guess what? Abrams doesn't even deny it, blaming it on a medical condition.
Did you enjoy looking at those pictures?
Not at all.
Then why did you have them?
Well, that's what we're trying to find out.
I mean,
No,
I didn't enjoy those. Of course not. Of course I would enjoy
those.
Did you
like that? Oh, no. They were gross.
He and a team of investigators are trying to find out?
Yeah.
What? I love that he agreed to give an interview. And there are some people, of course, who, you know, in order to protect themselves, perhaps shouldn't be talking to the press. But he is extremely willing to give any answer any question as forthrightly as possible.
Wow.
Just all of his answers are BS. But I love him so far.
Abrams is on the city board of neighborhood neighborhood commissioners, a non-paying position appointed by the mayor that deals with neighborhood problems. According to this affidavit obtained exclusively by CBS2, an undercover agent allegedly downloaded pictures from an account on a file-sharing website frequented by pedophiles. The account name was Boy Wonder USA.
Okay. Let's find out what he has to say about Boy Wonder USA. And by the way, he's like 60, okay?
The account was traced back to Abrams' home in Tarzana.
Did you go by the name of Boy Wonder USA?
That was what my split personality decided to do. But that's what happens when you have tumors.
Okay, so...
Whoa, split personality or tumors?
He's got both. The tumors are causing a split personality. He doesn't enjoy looking at those images. And he's not Boy Wonder USA, but his split personality is, Kevin. It's not his fault.
His split personality chose that name, so he had no choice?
Exactly.
That's right. Abrams claims he has a split personality because of a tumor in his spine that affected his brain. And it was that other person who was watching kiddie porn.
Now, I love this answer so much because he's already gone with, I don't enjoy it. I have the images on my computer. I don't like them, though. Don't get me wrong. I have a split personality because I have a tumor, and he's the Boy Wonder USA. Now listen to this.
Do you remember consciously looking at kiddie porn?
I was watching myself from a distance watching it. I know that
watching
sounds
yourself from
yes.
the distance.
Mm-hmm.
The FBI raided his home on Friday. He wasn't arrested, but they seized his computer. Now, days later, coincidentally, Abrams says the doctor just told him what was going on.
You just found out today that your medical condition
yes.
had triggered you to look at kiddie porn
yes.
of toddlers as young as four yes. in sexually explicit conditions.
That's correct.
Just today.
Well,
just 4 days after the FBI raided your house and you're under investigation. Isn't that a little suspicious?
No, it's a very natural thing to find out what's going on.
To talk to you.
Do you buy this stuff?
Four days after his place is raided, now he's got a diagnosis / defense that it wasn't me. It was my split personality. I have a tumor. Now, his poor wife is being interviewed by this news reporter. Lisa, put yourself in her shoes for a second.
I don't know what I would
yes,
say.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
If it's child porn.
I know, but if this is my husband for 15 years, let's
yes.
say, and he's never done or said anything that would
right.
indicate... I don't know. And then you're put on the spot like that?
But then here's my thing.
I think my first instinct publicly would be to go, I don't know.
There are a lot of crimes that guys do that women have to try and back them up, whether it be cheating or something else. But when it gets to child porn,
no, I totally not much understand.
Defense.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
I get that.
But he didn't enjoy it, you guys. He didn't enjoy it.
He
it
only
him.
Watched himself watching it.
Right. All right. Let's see what the poor wife has to say.
Sure. Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely. I do.
Abrams' wife, Linda, backs up her husband, saying he was in pain from the tumor.
He was at the end of his rope with the pain, and I didn't even realize it to that degree because he was just trying to carry on.
So did the kiddie porn alleviate his pain?
I highly, highly doubt that.
Well, I think we can all agree on that.
Wow. She sort of laughs at the question.
Yeah.
Can I get the name of your doctor? Do you give me permission to talk to him or her?
Absolutely.
Okay, what's the name of your doctor?
Dr.
Feelgood.
He stopped short,
what?
Never gave us the name.
Okay, now that's my favorite part. My favorite part of the whole interview is he's trying to appear as if I'm being 100% forthcoming. I've got nothing to hide.
Right.
So when the reporter says, let me have the name of your doctor. Absolutely. What's the doctor's name? It's Doctor. And now he's trying to think, I don't have a name. I got to make up some sort of a name. And he just falls apart right there. And of course, he doesn't have a doctor who has diagnosed this. Because the whole thing's made up. I just love this.
Doctor.
He stopped short, never gave us the name, and promised to have the doctor call, and he didn't.
Should you pay for this with jail time?
Oh, I don't think so.
Why not?
Well, I'm not a criminal.
No, just child porn. I'm not a criminal.
His other personality should pay, though.
Yes, and he can watch him in jail from
correct.
A distance.
That's correct.
I mean, he certainly is throwing a lot of pasta against the wall to see what sticks, isn't he?
Wow. Yeah,
and none of it is.
he's not enjoying it. It's a brain tumor. It's a split personality. It's a doctor's note. I mean, I love this guy so much. I can't wait to see what happens.
I do, too, but let's hope none of that works, right?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah, right. I know that we're doing a radio show, and we've got lots of things to think about with Kat Von D coming in and Dr. Drew on the show and everything else. But all you're thinking, Kevin, is what else did I forget at home? What else should I have packed as I leave for the airport after the show today to go to Lollapalooza?
Going to Chicago and broadcasting from there Friday, broadcasting for their Monday. And I'm not the most organized of people. So, you know, you throw stuff in at the last second, and you overpack because of that. You pack like 3 weeks worth of shirts, and you're only going to be there for 3 days.
Right.
And but then I'm also working from there, so I bring my computer and then a charger, and you know you forget like seven things.
Right.
Dude,
it's a lot.
I suspect you're not thinking very much about the shows that you're going to be doing on Friday and Monday.
Well, that's absolutely correct.
I have a feeling that's you're trying to figure out how to get out of those so you can go party more in Chicago.
Yes.
And by the way, Chicago in the summertime. What's a better place? I mean, I love that city so much. And when the weather's nice, that 4 weeks a year where the weather's nice in Chicago, man, there's no place better.
It's pretty humid, though, when it's not. It's pretty humid.
Yeah, it is humid.
And I don't know if you've ever been to Grant Park. Beautiful, beautiful park right on the water on one side and then downtown on the other side. I mean, it's just picturesque. But it's a mile long, and there are stages at each end for Lollapalooza. So you will walk and walk and walk and walk and walk and walk. And Dave has a hurt ankle.
Right.
Oh, good. That's right.
All throughout, what was the last show we just went to? LA Rising.
Right.
Dave, ow, 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 every step. Ow,
oh,
ow.
Oh, my God.
Ow. I was like, oh, no, this is going to be horrible. It's a long walk.
Hey, I went out to dinner with Dave at Comic-Con down in San Diego the night before our broadcast there, and it took us 30 minutes to walk 400 feet. It was crazy.
That's not
well, anyway, Kevin will be live from Chicago for Lollapalooza 2011. That's tomorrow. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. How about another former champion of the world? Tito Ortiz earlier in the hour. How about Iron Mike right now?
Tyson looking to end this on one punch, Steve.
Different person in the ring than I am in person. I have to just view myself greater than I actually am.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, you know, I'm a responsible guy now. I'm not like emotionally driven now. I'm not sexually driven now.
Did you ever play that Mike Tyson's punch out?
No, I just received the check.
Only in America, bull. I heard enough of that for one lifetime.
I'm very similar to Kevin Costner dancing the wolves, but I'm not dancing the damn wolves. I'm talking to pigeons.
Talking to pigeons.
Big time.
One night in Mecca in the world's growing oyster. The farther temples, but the purring free.
Our next guest is or was the youngest heavyweight champion of boxing history. He's also a pigeon enthusiast, a tattoo pioneer, and one of the finest actors this screen has ever known. Please say hello to Mike Tyson.
Always a thrill when Mike Tyson is able to join us here on the Kevin Amin Show. Mike, how have you been, my friend?
Oh, man, I've just been great. I couldn't be better.
Is it weird to hear those highlights of what seems like another life to you, probably?
I don't even know who that person is.
Really?
No. It's a trip. I'm looking at this guy, and I'm going through, and sometimes I'm getting nervous, and what the fuck? You know, he is, who the hell is this? What was going on then, and why was that? Wow.
So you don't spend very much time thinking back to your boxing days, Mike?
No, it's pretty much a blur. It's pretty much a blur. I mean, you're not that person no more.
If you don't mind,
That guy was too high octane.
If you don't mind my saying, you are a great boxer. Just if that helps remind you.
Thank you, sir.
you tweeted the other day, Mike, that you're still a fighter. You're still a fighter, but now you're fighting for the right reasons. What did you mean by that?
You know, man, it's for passion of life. It's fighting for my family to be well. Fighting is the be a better person to my fellow brother and life, you know. And yes, it's fun to be an all around, yes, be a service to society.
When was the documentary? Was it last year, Tyson?
A couple of years ago.
Was
probably
so,
08, 09.
Oh, it was so fascinating because the you in the ring and the you in real life couldn't be more opposite.
Well, you have to invent that guy in the ring so you can have a good life.
So you had to get rid of that part of you?
100%, because yeah. I was telling this interview, I had a great teacher in Custy Amato. I said, but a lot of things that he taught me wasn't good for life, though. It was magnificent for the ring.
Right.
I remember when we spoke with you at the time that documentary was out, Mike, and we really appreciated the time, but you were so brave to reveal as much of yourself as you did. I mean, that was part of what made it such an effective movie, is that you were so honest in it, and you knew that it was a unflinching look at yourself, and most people would be much more guarded about that, but you really let it all hang out.
No, I would never do that. The reason why I did that, because what you didn't see was that Jim Toback, the director, he's asking me questions. He's talking to me.
Right.
But on the camera, it doesn't look like that. And, you know, it's kind of freaked me out watching myself on camera like that without these questions. But right there, it seems like I'm just spilling my guts just to a psychiatrist.
Well, even if we saw him asking the question, usually people who have the reputation that you had, which is badass in the ring, are afraid to open up so much, even in answering questions about, you know, the real you and how you love pigeons and the real...
This is a good friend of mine talking to me.
So that makes,
right.
Of course.
Made it more comfortable, yeah.
It's a good friend talking to me.
Right.
We're on with Mike Tyson. We've got a lot of ground to cover in just a few minutes. Let me ask you this, Mike. What has the difference been in your life being involved with the Hangover movies, as successful as they are?
Hey, listen, let me explain this, right? I had no idea this was going to happen. Periodically, at times, I walk outside and say, what the hell? You know, I'm looking at little kids that never saw Mike Tyson fight in their life.
Right.
And I say, here, a little kid said this. This is what I heard like a 13-year-old said. Please, listen. Dad, there's the actor Mike Tyson right there. Whoa.
You're like, what?
So you've got a whole...
20 years of what? You know, 20 years of doing what?
You got a whole new generation of people who only know you as an actor. Now, Mike, have you ever regretted the tattoo on your face, or is that something
Absolutely
you're still comfortable
not.
With?
Absolutely not. No, that's something I didn't regret. I didn't regret it because that's just who I am and who I felt at the time.
All right, let me ask you about a couple of friends of ours that you know. You and Jimmy Kimmel, and I know you're on Jimmy's show a lot. You know, Jimmy worked on this show for many, many years, and we're very close with him as well. You guys seem to have a genuine friendship. Tell me about that.
Jimmy's an awesome guy. Jimmy's a Vegas boy.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And listen, last night I saw Tarkanian, The Shark, and I just really think I'm just happy that we were in that era and that that changed my life, you're seeing those guys. It was just never be nothing, another team like that. And we were both, me and Jimmy, we just caught up in this, and intoxicated in that whole era.
So
we totally in UNLV groupies. Imagine me, I go to all the games, touching the guys. I hung out with the guys. I want to be around the guys. You know, it was like having a professional basketball team in Vegas.
Yep. I hear you.
And I'm only 2 or 3 years older than these guys. I'm 90. I'm 20 and 90. I'm loving this.
You're loving
it. 18, 19, whatever. I'm loving this stuff.
All right, let's switch topics. Let's talk about Same Name. Now, this is a TV show that airs this Sunday at 9 o'clock on CBS. And they went out and found somebody else with the name Mike Tyson, right?
Yeah, they narrowed it down to this awesome guy in Grand Rapids, I believe it is. No, it's maybe Grand Rapids or Benton Harbor.
Okay.
Grand Rapids, no, it's Grand Rapids, Michigan, and he's just an awesome guy. It's a wonderful guy. They work for he's a male nurse, and he works for a clinic for people that can't afford their medicine.
Right.
And I watched the week before mine with the lady played Kathy Griffin.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the lady cried, and I was embarrassed because I cried in my show, and I understand. I'm so happy somebody understood why did I cry, because wow, living somebody else's life, and wow, it's just there's people out there that have just as much heart as any kind of movie star, superstar, and
no question,
just expressed it in another way.
Yeah.
So you guys switch jobs. So you perform his duties as a nurse, and then he learns how to box.
I was a hockey player too, because he's a weekend warrior.
Oh. You know?
So he's a hockey player, and I'm Goldie, and I really suck bad.
Can you skate? Can you ice skate?
No.
So it sounds. I mean, I'll be completely honest with you, Mike. It sounded like a fairly cheesy concept to just look for people who have the same names. But it sounds like you really walked away with a real understanding of what somebody else is like walking in his shoes. It sounds like you really enjoyed it.
Listen. He told me about sometimes he would go out and make reservations for a restaurant, and so he made a restaurant. He was in Luxor, and so. My friend had worked in a Luxor, and he was an executive. And every time we don't have money to go out and really get some good food, we'd go over to the Luxor, we'd eat a big steak dinner. He'd lay us out, right?
Right.
So he was in a Luxor, and he said Mike Tyson made a reservation to the restaurant that I go to. So when he came, until they saw him, they gave him the whole private section, and they saw him, then they moved him to the other section. That's where I go when I don't have any money, and our friend gives me lunches and dinners and stuff.
All right. Well, we're out of time. The show is called Same Name. It airs this Sunday night at 9 on the CBS Television Network, and you can follow Mike on Twitter at Mike Tyson. Mike, it's always great to have you on the Kevin and Bean Show, man. Thank you for the time.
Hey, man. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
Can I squeeze in one last question?
Go for it.
Do you follow Dave, the King of Mexico, on Twitter?
Periodically, I may follow anybody on Twitter.
All right. Just check it. All right. Thank you, Mike.
Got a guy working on staff on the Kevin and Bean Show who was very nearly part of an arranged marriage. We'll explore that coming up after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Before I get to showbiz news, how about I give away some passes to the red carpet world premiere of a movie called 30 Minutes or Less.
Yay!
It's awesome. It's a hilarious comedy. You will laugh out loud.
Jesse Eisenberg.
Ralph will give you your money back for this screening.
Absolutely, yes. I will, yes. I've seen a bunch of footage from this because I did the panel down at Comic-Con for this film, and it just looks great. From the director of Zombieland, Ruben Fleischer. If you'd like to attend the red carpet world premiere, see the movie with all the stars, it's happening next Monday. First two callers to get through right now, 1-800-520-1067. First two callers will get a pair of passes. And if you don't win, don't feel too bad, because the movie's in theaters everywhere next Friday. You can check it out. Well, the other shoe has dropped. Regarding CSI, first Larry Fishburne left the show, and they announced Ted Danson was going to take over the CSI crew there in Las Vegas. Now, Marg Helgenberger confirmed she also is leaving the top-rated show after 11 years.
What's happening? They just get tired of the grind,
it's
you think?
It's a long time.
It is a long time to do work where you're working 14, 15-hour days.
Yeah.
It can be brutal. She did it for 11 years, after all. She is going to do this season with Ted Danson, and then this will be her last season as Catherine Willows. Ted and George Eads joked it wouldn't be her last if they had anything to say about her departure, but it looks like she will be finished. Which is a shame, because she has always been sort of the cornerstone of that show for me, with all the other cast changes and stuff.
Wouldn't it be awesome if they hired Shelley Long to fill her role?
No.
No, that would be horrible.
That would be a terrible idea.
Why would you even suggest it?
Funny to say, terrible.
Because Ted Danson's going to be on there?
Ted Danson and Shelley Long started Cheers all those years ago. How hilarious would it be if now they're on that show together?
I'm not sure CSI's looking for hilarity.
Well, maybe not.
By the way, it would also only be hilarious when you hear it the first time. Not watching it, but just the first time you hear it, you go, hey, they were on that show together. That's it. That's all you'd get out of it.
Then they have this sort of sexual tension, you know, are they going to get together or not?
Right,
and then they
there
do.
You go. Then
Shelley
and Woody Harrelson shows up.
Kirstie Alley comes on in the fourth season. She joins. Well, Kirstie's already got a new TV job. She has just landed herself a new sitcom. Look, they say people go on Dancing with the Stars to try to reboot their careers, and it happens quite often.
Happens for a lot of them.
Yeah, happened for Kirstie. She did such a good job on that show. Her value has risen again in the TV community, and now she's starring on a new fall sitcom for ABC. Not a coincidence, I guess, that they were also the network of Dancing with the Stars. It's called The Manzanis.
Huh?
The Manzanis.
Why is it called that?
Because that's the name of the family. She will be a wife and a mother. And she plays Mrs. Manzani. And the network describe it as a fresh take on a sitcom in the Roseanne style. So I bet they're going to be all loud and crass and white trashy, the Manzanis. And we're going to welcome them into our hearts and our homes each week.
I'm suggesting the last two might not happen.
The Manzanis!
Yeah.
That's just a funny name right there, Manzani.
Oh, it's got you at the name?
It sure does.
All right.
TV news. 2 and a Half Men this fall, of course, has Ashton Kutcher joining the cast. And CBS this week told the Television Critics Association that Ashton will be playing an internet billionaire named Walden Schmidt. That's the name of his character. Walden okay. Schmidt will be buying the house there on the beach where the 1.5 men live, and that's how they meet.
I could buy him as a you know, tech billionaire.
I wonder how many Twitter followers Walden Schmidt has. Probably not as many as Ashton Kutcher.
That's true.
So, based on the name and that occupation they give him, he's probably going to play like a super nerdy, geeky, kind of not good with women guy, I imagine?
I don't know the answer to that question.
That would go completely opposite of what Charlie Sheen played, though.
Yeah.
Right. He's a ladies' man.
Yeah. I'm guessing Ashton Kutcher will play sort of a hipster, like one of those cats from Facebook in that movie The Social Network right. kind of guys, you know, who likes the fast living and the cars and the women and all that kind of stuff. The ripping and the tearing, that sure. kind of thing. Yeah. And this is just wrong. Oprah Winfrey, it has been announced, will receive this year's honorary Oscar.
Oscar?
Yes.
Yeah, what's that about?
What?
Really? Because of her great work in that one film 25 years ago?
One acting job she had.
Because she doesn't have enough yet?
Yes. What? Well, what do you get the woman who has everything, Lisa? You got to give her what she doesn't have, and she doesn't have an Oscar. Kevin's wife right there talking about it.
Why is she getting an Oscar?
They say she will receive the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award for all of her charitable work over the years.
And she only qualifies because of The Color Purple? That's it?
That's it.
Huh.
I don't understand that at all. I mean, give one to Mother Teresa. She did a lot of charitable work. Give her an Oscar.
If you're going to start just giving awards out to people who have done good things, the Oscar ceremony is going to be even longer than it usually is.
That's bizarre.
And she did it in the service of her show, too.
Yes. Right.
It's a little different, I think.
Yeah. It's not like she gave up show business and, you know, put a backpack right. on and started planting apple seeds or whatever right. the hell.
Not that I would suggest that they're only inviting her knowing that Oprah has lots of fans who will like to see her on television.
You are a cynical, callous man. Also getting an honorary award this year, Dick Smith, legendary makeup artist. He was the inventor, really, of the makeup appliance, foam appliances, using that to shape the face and things like that. I mean, guys like Rick Baker and those who carried on his footsteps owe everything to Dick Smith. He was sort of the originator of that style of makeup. So he certainly deserves an award. And James Earl Jones will be getting a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars
for best voice.
Just for greatest voice ever. Yeah. You know, James Earl Jones used to be a stutterer. Can you imagine?
No.
Really?
Yeah, he used to have a bad stutter.
Wow.
And one of the reasons he took up acting was to work on his vocalization and try to beat that.
Then he became the King of England, and then he was supposed to give a speech
World
War II, and he got a coach, and the coach really helped him out a lot with that stutter.
Different stutterer, not the same.
Oh.
Today's celebrity birthdays, comedian actor Richard Belzer, 67 years old today. Actor Billy Bob Thornton turns 56. Daniel Day Kim from Lost and Hawaii Five-0 is 43 years old. He doesn't look 43, does he?
No, he does not.
Amazing shape. Rapper Yo-Yo is 40 years old
Which
today.
Which one is Yo-Yo? It's not Neo?
No, it's Yo-Yo?
It's Yo-Yo. Who the hell is Yo-Yo?
You know, Yo-Yo.
I love Yo-Yo.
Yo-Yo is the best. He's 40 years old. And the President of the United States, Barack Obama, celebrates his 50th birthday today. Bet you're sorry you won now, aren't you, Barack? Poor bastard, what he's been going through last year. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kat Von D joins us in 1 hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we'll catch up with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky before that as well. Thanks for tuning in on a Thursday. I think I told you guys a couple of weeks ago that we had some friends over, and I know this is shocking because this is me being speaking, but we had some friends over, and I was talking to my friend Amro, who I did not know had been in an arranged marriage. He and his beautiful wife Lemya, who have now been married about 11 years or
what
so.
What are their names?
Amro and Lemya.
Okay.
They're Egyptian, Kevin.
Okay.
And he was living in the United States. He moved to America in his 20s, and his mother called him from Egypt and said, I need you to come home right now. And he says, what's up? And she says, I want to introduce you to the woman you are to marry.
Oh, because that sounds like I want you to come right home right now. It's like a medical emergency.
Yeah.
Nope. It's a love emergency.
Wow.
So he goes home and mom says, I'd like to introduce you to your wife. And they get married 3 days later.
Oh, my God.
And now have been married 11 years and 2 beautiful children. They couldn't be any happier. And he says, I had total faith in the system. It's the way we've always done it. It is how it is my custom. And my mother knows what she's talking about. And they have gone on so far as to now his younger brother is married to her younger sister.
Okay, and they are now also, it's getting weird.
They are also happily married and have a child on the way. So it was foreign to me being an American. You know, we don't think about arranged marriages as happening very much. So then I'm telling that story to the guys, and we find out that somebody who's working on the Kevin and Bean show is involved in an arranged marriage. What's that deal?
We call him Jed because his voice...
That brought my mind to a complete halt.
What if your name was Asshore?
Sounds just like a DJ that worked at this radio station for...
I've been told that.
So that's Jed.
Jed, he's Jed 2.0.
Now, did you try to make your voice sound that way, or is this natural?
No, this is all. It's always been natural. I've always been called out for it. It's kind of a crossbreed of John Malkovich,
yes,
and Jed the Fish.
Jed, sure.
but I'm sure because, and I know this isn't the topic, Jed 2.0, but
yeah,
people have told you, you clearly can't go into radio with that voice, right?
Yeah, people have made fun of me. My mom looks at me like I'm an alien and I have antennas.
Hey, Jed had a long career. Well, you know, why not?
Yeah. You know what? He's given me a lot of inspiration because I've been very insecure about my voice for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So he's given me a lot of
that
inspiration.
Should probably continue. Okay, now, Jed 2.0 is here. Yeah. Your background is what?
I am Persian-American.
Persian-American.
My parents are from Tehran, Iran.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, were you born here?
I was born here,
okay.
Yes.
But your parents still believe in the arranged marriage thing.
Yes.
So you had an arranged marriage?
I was arranged in a traditional Persian marriage with Afsana Anusha Asal.
She sounds hot.
She might as well have been wearing a burqa. She has a huge unibrow.
Oh.
Yeah, very hairy, like hairier than me. And I couldn't do it.
Okay,
and
now here's the weird thing.
Yeah.
We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you're involved in any part of arranged marriages. It seems so crazy,
so
foreign
crazy
to us.
Yes.
But we also are running at about a 50% divorce rate, so maybe we're doing it the wrong way.
Yeah, maybe so.
Well, now I have heard, Kevin, and Jed 2.0, tell me if this is a statistic you're familiar with as well, that the success rate for arranged marriages is almost identical to the success rate from people who choose their own spouse.
Oh, well, if it's not better, then I'm not changing.
Yeah, it sounds about right. I've been, you know what, this has psychologically tortured me for a very long time,
okay,
this arranged marriage.
At what age were you arranged?
At the tender age of 12.
12?
Yes.
So they say to you at 12, when you get old enough, here is the girl that we have said you are going to marry.
At Persian parties, I remember my mom pointing at a portrait of my wife and saying, you are going to marry her. She's beautiful and classy looking. At the age of 12.
Okay. Had your parents met her, or they just saw the picture?
They were very close with her family,
I
so it was like a family reputation type thing.
Well, did they live in the U.S.? I mean, she lives here.
Yeah. She's also a Persian American.
So why have you never met her?
I've met her a couple times since then.
Wouldn't you think they'd, like,
yeah,
put you guys
well, you
together
would think
a little more?
At the beginning, they would say, this is the girl you're going to marry,
yeah,
not just point to a picture on a wall.
Yeah. No, she's come, ever since then, she's come to my house several times.
Oh,
my,
wow.
Yeah. My parents were trying to be matchmakers and hook it up, but I couldn't do it.
Okay,
for the life
of me.
At
what point did you tell your parents, and this is, by the way, poison for the family relationships.
Yep.
At what point did you say, I don't want to marry her, I'd like to pick someone myself?
You know what? I've been saying it for quite a while. My parents have disregarded me. And finally, I was perceived as the insane tribal divergent when I brought a Caucasian blonde girl to a Persian New Year party. And I was the insane tribal divergent. I was shunned socially. And all
socially,
my grandparents,
by just your family, by the entire community,
by
all your
the
friends?
Entire Beverly Hills Persian community.
Your friends?
My friends, not so much.
Okay.
My friends kind of are on the same page as me.
Right.
But my entire Persian
wow
community. Yeah.
Jed, what about the young lady? Is she also, she's American now?
Oh, she's down for it. She's like, you're so good looking.
Oh, I so
like
she it wants to marry you?
Yes.
Oh, I
wow
see.
She has hardcore Persian in her veins, too.
Are her feelings hurt?
Her feelings are a little bit
by
hurt.
Your rejection.
I try to conjure MTV Disaster Date whenever I'm with her to detract her from me.
Make her not like you?
I've tried being gay. I've tried being a crazy crack-addicted fool. Nothing's worked. She's hooked.
What?
Yeah, it's very strange.
She's hooked because her parents told her she has to be hooked.
Yeah.
Is it that wild? Wow,
that's bizarre.
Now, is this going to be a big rift with you and your folks, or at some point are they going to accept, look, those are the old ways, that's how we're comfortable with it, but our son is an American now, and he wants to do it this way?
You know what? I've been trying to appendage things. They're financially supporting me, but socially not so much. I'm not invited to Persian parties.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not anymore. No.
The holidays or anything?
They don't
like
want
that?
The crazy person at the Persian parties.
So you have to pay full price for your cell phones now, right? That's what's happening? You get no discount from the community.
I think the way things are heading, that's going to become a reality very soon.
Is that you're going to be completely
cut off. Wow.
It's tough. It's very tough.
And do you try to explain to them? I just think it would be better
I'd
if
rather
I
marry
pick.
For love. Yeah.
I've tried every rationale. I've talked about it in my diary entries for elementary school. My parents have come into interviews with my professors. They still don't get it. They're so rigid on their belief system. Yeah.
Well, that is fascinating. And I mean, I was surprised to hear about it from my friend Amro, but he's Egyptian and it happened in their country. I'm surprised to hear it's still being set up. Marriage is still being arranged in the United States. Mm-hmm. But that is an interesting story. I'm glad you shared that with us. We want to talk to other people maybe who have been pushed in this direction toward arranged marriages. And it sounds like, at least from these two examples, that it's people from a Middle Eastern background who still want to continue their tradition. I don't know if other groups do it or not, but I guess we're going to find out. So you've been part of an arranged marriage. Maybe you're even in an arranged marriage.
Or they were pushing you toward one.
Right. Yeah. We want to hear your stories on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think we've ever talked about this before, but it is a fascinating topic. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Host of his own show on HLN, host of Celebrity Rehab, co-host of Loveline, Dr. Drew Pinsky, joins us in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, we're talking about arranged marriages. Seems like a, very foreign idea to most of us that grew up in the United States of America, but they do still exist in a lot of places around the world. And I think we've got Kevin and Bean listener Vince, who was involved in an arranged marriage, and not in a good way. Hi, Vince. Welcome to the show, man. Thanks for hanging on. What happened?
Hi, thank you, guys. Well, I'll keep it short. I started seeing this girl from college. We dated for about a matter of years, about three and a half years. And her parents, she was Indian, and her parents decided, well, it's time for you to get married because you're 21. That's totally old enough to get married.
Right.
And, so she pretty much had to. You know, it's like if they don't do it in that culture, like you pretty much get disowned from
the
family.
So you were dating her for 3.5 years, and then she had to marry somebody else?
That's right. Yeah, someone she had never even met, by the way, who was 35.
You guys were living in the United States? Was her family back in India?
No, her whole family was over here, but none of them were legal. So they wanted to marry her to marry this guy because he had papers.
Well, oh, my God.
Wait, do you not have papers?
No, I have papers, but of course, like I said, it's a cultural thing. I'm not Indian. I'm not Punjabi. I'm American, so she can't marry me.
Hmm. Wow. So what, I mean, did this just break her heart that she essentially had to break up with you because of what her parents said?
Well, you know, like, I love your show, and I know you like to make fun of things, but honestly, this was like a total life-changing event, honestly, for both of us. It was a huge deal, and it was a really big heartbreak.
Vince, sure. It sounds horrible. I can't imagine how awful it was, and I'm frankly surprised. I mean, I guess she felt like she had to, but I'm frankly surprised she didn't stand up to the parents and say that tradition is going to end with me because I want to be an American and marry the man I love. I mean, that just makes more sense to me.
You know, family to them means so much more than it does to us.
All right.
Honestly, that's how it is.
Let me make fun of you then, because are you positive that she wasn't just trying to get away from you and that she was using her parents and the arranged marriage thing and everything as an excuse?
That could be it also. Okay. I'm kind of a jerk.
All right, good enough.
Oh, dude, I'm so sorry. But thanks for the call. We appreciate it very much, and thank you for listening. Let's try Sitara. Sitara, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, is on line four on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hello.
Oh,
hey, Kevin
wow.
and Bean, it's me.
Hello.
Hi, Sitara. Tell me about arranged marriage.
Okay, let me tell you my story. My story is hilarious, and it started when I was 18. I'm now 28.
Okay.
Okay, so my uncle and my mom have been trying to set me up with my first cousin in Pakistan.
First cousin?
Yeah, my first cousin. And it's been ongoing, and they're still doing it. I'm like, I'm not going to do it. He's my first cousin. It's disgusting, you know? Like,
besides the fact, I guess it's a Western notion that marrying your cousin is bad, because it seems to happen a lot of other places. Had you ever met him? Did you know him?
No, I met him when I was about, 15, but I've known him all my life.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Would you have to move to Pakistan?
No. The thing was that they wanted him to come here, and I have citizenship here, so they're like, oh, let him come here, he'll stay here.
That's how to get him here.
That sounds like they were working with his parents to get him here and get him a green card.
Yeah, what's funny is, like, they're trying to get him here. So we're like, oh, let him come here, he'll go to school, he'll get a good job, he'll work with your uncle. And I'm like, oh, work with my uncle? I want him to support me, not me to support him.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow, so you ixnayed that whole arrangement. It did not happen. The wedding did not happen.
Oh, thank God it didn't happen. And but they're still pushing for it.
I was going to ask how the response was, because our intern said they pretty much cut him off socially.
Yeah. So for the Persian guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm asking you the same thing. Did your family slash friends cut you off?
The thing with my family is they're modernized. Like, you know, they keep on telling me, they're like, if you want to do it, you can do it, but it's very good if you do it, you know?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. But they give you the option of saying no.
Yeah, they're giving us the option to say no. Okay. Like, I've been getting arranged marriage proposals left and right. Like, last week I have like two, and I'm like, what?
You shouldn't have to fend off your mom and dad with marriage proposals.
No. And by the way, Sitara sounds so hot, I'm about to propose to her. I'm going to be honest here. Thank you for the call.
Well, you guys have a good day.
Thank you.
You too. Bye. Greatest human being on earth, Mr. Skin, joins us tomorrow on The Kevin and Bean Show. LaQuisha will be back reviewing the season premiere of Jersey Shore, Italy. That's on MTV tonight. And our old friend Petros Papadakis is going to be joining us as well. Right now, how about Dr. Drew Pinsky? Hey, doctor, how are you, man?
Gentlemen, how about that?
Always great to talk to you. God, I've been loving Celebrity Rehab so much this season. You know, you always come on and you say, no, seriously, this year, guys, you're not going to believe some of the stuff that happens. And I always think, well, there's just Drew hyping another hour of TV. But God damn it, every year you get me sucked in with how entertaining this show is for all the right reasons.
I'm so sorry about that, Bean.
How long ago did you do that, Drew? How long? It takes you like about 30 days, right?
30 days to do it takes 3 weeks.
3 weeks, okay.
To prepare for television takes about 6 months.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. I wanted to ask you about a couple things. And one of the reasons why I love the show so much is you see what's going on with your patients, and there are much bigger implications for lots of other people. Michael Lohan is addicted to chaos. You don't have to specifically talk about him, but what is that happens to people where they're not happy unless they're involved in situations in every aspect of their life that they're creating nothing but drama for them?
The drama is precisely the correct word. Is that some people live in chaos and drama when they're children, and it's unpleasant, it's miserable, and in fact, it's terrorizing. And the crazy thing, if you listen to Loveline, you hear me say this all the time, the crazy thing about the human being is experiences of terror in childhood become attractive in a young adulthood and adulthood, and you are attracted to the kinds of people, places, and circumstances that create the same trauma all over
again. So you recreate your childhood, whether it was good or bad.
Well, especially the strangest thing about people is, especially when it's bad.
Wow.
Especially when it's traumatic. I mean, that's why people who are sexually abused become, you know, prostitutes or strippers, or people who are physically abused find abusive partners. That's our fit. That's what we're fit with in our family of origin, and our sense of love and nurturance becomes all tied up in that.
Wow.
Do sociologists have any reason for that? I mean, can we trace it back to caveman days to figure out, or is there some sort of reason why that was helpful at one point?
I'm sure we'll have some sort of neurophysiological reason someday, but it must be. I think it's an accident. I think it's one of these sort of, it's like your appendix, you know what I mean? It's the flip side of something good, which is the converse is also true. When you have good experiences in childhood, you're attracted to good things in your life. And so, you know, I'm sure it had adaptive advantages at one time, but it carried with this liability as well.
But I see you and I see your staff who are trying to break it down for Michael Lohan and saying, look, you have these things and these people in your life that are making your life miserable, that are causing you stress, it's causing you physical harm. You have to cut these things out of your life. And it almost seems like he's incapable or unwilling to do that because, like you said, he's being drawn somewhere else.
And Bean, it gets a lot worse. I don't know what episode they're going to air it in, but it gets, I mean, this is, you talk about me promising things. This is the one I'm promising you, which is Michael goes to a bad place.
Michael Lohan, who could have predicted that?
I did tell you he's a likable guy, but you know, if you think the little Jeremy Jackson, Amy Fisher husband outburst was intense, there's something more coming for you all.
Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk about that. Lisa May and I were discussing the last episode of Celebrity Rehab earlier this morning. We were talking about how you might be the worst ever party host, Dr. Drew. You're hosting a party. People are walking out on you while you're trying to give a toast to their sobriety at that point at 2 weeks or something like that. You've got somebody in the kitchen breathing into a paper bag trying not to vomit. You've got somebody else calling the police. Another guest is threatened to kill, I'm going to kill you where you stand, mother effer. You've got that going on.
That sounds like a good party to me.
It is a pretty typical night at Kevin's house. But it goes to the heart of be cautious with your guest list. I think that's the bottom line. If the guest list has gone awry, ain't nothing you can do.
Yeah.
And it seems like every episode this season, somebody's packing their suitcase and wanting to walk out of rehab. Is that something that you just encounter? It's just part of the job. You have to figure out a way to talk people down from the ledge?
Yeah, there's a lot of that in treatment. And there's a lot of us kicking people out, too. But yeah, poor Michael. I want to just get back to him real quick. What you were talking about is exactly and precisely the point. And we would sit down and we'd have group processes where he'd get emotional, he'd have insight, and he'd go, "You're right. I know where this comes from now." And we'd go back to the unit and we'd find him on the phone.
Yeah.
And literally, I'll never forget I hope this part of the graduation goes on TV. I never know what they're going to put on TV, but Bob Forrest, you know, we were doing testimonials and saying goodbye to everybody. And Bob looks at Mike and goes, "Mike, I've never effing seen anything like you. I don't know what to have to do with you. I've been in this field for 20 years. I don't know what to do.
let me ask you one more Michael Lohan question that I've never thought of before this week's episode. Do you think, and he had a lot of problems even long before he, you know, met Dina and had kids and everything, but do you think part of what's going on with Michael Lohan is that he sees Lindsay Lohan as being this big Hollywood star, so he feels that he deserves more and a better life because she's famous?
No, I think you got that all wrong. I think
Michael, all evidence to the contrary.
No, but I think it's all as usual, much more complicated. And you know, that is Michael's daughter, and he is in profound pain, you know, because of what's happening to her. He's estranged from Dina. He's actually working on that relationship to this day. And he, you know, is a father who has been struggling and has got his own issues and has trouble making ends meet. And so he just goes for the direction that looks viable to him, you know, and this is what he's been doing. It's not a great choice, but ultimately it's not about piggybacking on Lindsay. It's about things have come his way, and he's in great, no, make no mistake about it, he is in great misery and very worried about his daughter.
Overruled!
Was he frustrated that she did not show up for Friends and Family Day?
It was mostly Dina that he wanted to come to that. I mean, he kind of knew that for Lindsay it probably wouldn't be a good idea. But and he, you know, we had a great triumph when he didn't show up in court. One of her court appearances was during the treatment, and he wanted to go be in the court. And we were like, "Michael, stop it, come on." And it was hard for him, but you know, he was able to not do that at least. But Dina did not show up.
Obviously. At what point does our opinion turn on him, Dr. Drew? You've been promising that all season.
Bean's already in.
A little.
A little, yeah.
Only a little, though.
I guess we just have to keep watching.
You got to keep watching. Right. And it gets a little rough. There's a big bump in the road a-coming.
Now, a bump in the road a-coming. Now, Dr. Drew, changing topics because we're running out of time. You have another TV show, and that's good because you don't have enough.
It's called Life Changers, and it's going to be on the CW at 3 o'clock, and it's just what it sounds like, you know, bringing experts together and helping people change. It's kind of a cool show.
Is it a half hour, an
half
hour? Half hour every day?
Every day.
Oh, my God.
So you have Loveline, and then you have this every day, and then you have the HLN show every day.
Yeah.
And then you have Celebrity Rehab every once in a while. And then you have 16 and Pregnant, and then you have Teen Mom, then you have Sober House.
Well, the reality shows, I'm not doing any of those presently. I mean, maybe a little bit of the Teen Mom here and there, but the other stuff is just a daily job.
How long until you lose your family? Let's be honest.
It's official. My workaholism is officially out of control.
Okay.
I'll grant you that.
Glad to hear
that.
All
right, last question for you, Dr. Drew, and we always appreciate that you're able to squeeze in the Kevin and Bean show on your busy schedule. Have you met your wife's boyfriend yet?
How dare you?
The beautiful Kat Von D joins us after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening, Ralph?
Sad news. Yesterday, you may have heard that the legendary Charles Aaron Smith, better known to football fans everywhere as Bubba Smith, passed away yesterday at the age of 66 years old. He, of course...
Sure, that's the sound effect we need.
College football star at Michigan State went on to play for the Baltimore Colts back when the Colts still were in Baltimore. Won the Super Bowl in 1971, and then his charming personality and his easy way with the media led away to an acting career, and he guest starred on such TV series as Good Times and Charlie's Angels. He was a regular in Miller Lite commercials, but I guess his biggest role was that of Hightower, Moses Hightower in the Police Academy movies. He did 6 Police Academy movies.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't think any of the other cast did as many as he did, but he passed away at the age of 66. No word on what it was. But I'll tell you something. Football players do not have longevity.
I think they abuse their bodies a lot for a long time.
I do, too. Yeah. And they're mostly large guys, yep. You know, and...
it doesn't help.
Makes it hard for the body just to keep pumping that blood and everything through those big bodies of theirs. So they tend to have heart problems and things like that. But sad news, because I was a fan. I thought he was a very charming, funny guy. Great geek news today. The Twitterverse is exploding.
Is it?
Dave? Is it a Twitter?
The internets are exploding.
Yes.
The first picture of Henry Cavill as Superman was released on the internet today by Warner Brothers.
Wow, that
it's
is
bad
big.
Enough. They're teasing us when they moved the release date of the film to 2013. Now they're showing pictures of him inside Superman, tearing down giant vault doors and whatnot.
I think we can imagine what that would look like, right?
No! We need to see it.
Ralph, are you still of a mind where you can say to yourself, I'm super excited about this, but I'm guessing most people aren't.
It's Superman!
Yes.
One of the most famous characters in all of history.
Right. It opens tomorrow, right? The film is
people
opening
are waiting
tomorrow?
To see what this guy looks like as Superman.
But the percentage of people waiting to see what he looks like is way small. You know that. You're still with us, right?
You're wrong, sir.
I'm wrong.
You are wrong. People are interested. If you said there's a new picture of Robert Downey Jr. in the new Iron Man suit or Thor or any of these superhero movies, which are huge blockbusters, people would be curious to see what that looks like. I think you are the one who's out of touch in this particular area.
Look, I get that the movies are popular. I think Kevin would go see the new Iron Man movie, but I doubt very seriously. Kevin, am I wrong that you would click through to see a picture of him in an Iron Man suit?
I would not click through.
Well, when the images come online, it's big news.
You sound insane. Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
I think maybe you don't appreciate the power of these
maybe you
films
appreciate it too much.
And their blockbuster quality.
This film that's coming out in 2013!
Biggest trending photo last week was the new pictures from the Dark Knight Rises set. Blew up.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I'm just saying.
But I'm...
What a dork!
Just saying, the guy who forgets his wallet and his watch and his phone may not be as aware of what's going on around him as he might think.
Guy who spends his entire life reading comic books may not either.
Yeah, that's what I do. I spend my entire life reading comic books.
Just saying.
Yeah. Also in the news today, Glee's holding a casting call.
Woo!
No one cares about that.
We gotta send Omar.
Make him try out.
Yeah. Foo Fighters did a bunch of concerts in people's garages a few weeks ago. You may remember those. Well, they were all filmed, and there's a 40-minute documentary about these shows. It's now up at YouTube. So if you're a Foo Fighters fan, you can go enjoy that. You can go check that out.
What's the name of it? Do you know? To search for it?
It doesn't say here.
It's Foo Fighters documentary?
Yeah, I'm sure if you just go Foo Fighters, it'll pop
up. Imagine what it was like for the 8 or 9 or whatever it was that they did, where they show up at your house and literally Foo Fighters gives a concert for you and your friends in your garage. How crazy must that have been for those people?
Crazy.
Pretty bizarre.
I'm saying a lot crazy. 80 crazies. I don't know. How do you measure the crazies?
I don't know either.
And Ryan Gosling says, stay away from George Clooney.
Why?
Because he will embarrass you.
Oh.
He is a prankster. Ryan knows firsthand. He said he was talking to George recently, and George was standing a little close, but he thought he was just having a quiet, intimate conversation with George. He walked away, and he realized that George, while he was staring into Ryan's eyes, had a spray gun, water bottle in his hand, and had sprayed his crotch. So it looked like Ryan Gosling had peed himself after he walked away. He's telling us, Weekly Magazine, he's warning you that if you get too close to George Clooney, there's a chance he will publicly embarrass
you. That's sweet.
Why won't George Clooney be best friends with you, Ralph? You guys would have so much fun together.
I'm guessing it's the only reason that hasn't happened is because we've never met. I'm sure the second we meet, that will become an instant
lifelong friend.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Today's celebrity birthday is Billy Bob Thornton's 56 years old today. Richard Belzer, comedian and actor, is 67. President of the United States Barack Obama turns 50 years old today. Daniel Day Kim celebrates his 43rd birthday. And rapper Yo-Yo, the reason we're celebrating the day, rapper Yo-Yo celebrates his and or hers birthday today. He or she is 40 years old today. We're all big, big Yo-Yo fans here, so we want to...
Her name is Yo-Yo.
She's Miss Rap Yo-Yo. Supreme.
Guess so.
That's correct.
And she or he is 40.
We're still nailing it down.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kat Von D. Is that short for something?
For Katherine Von Drachenberg.
Even though I'm not too familiar with Lady Gaga's music, I was able to tattoo her right before she blew up really crazy. Some days are a lot easier than others, and the other days I snap. So, I'm hoping that, me pushing the envelope with, my tattooing and doing, the best tattoos I possibly can will, outshine the drama. I think people will probably be surprised to know, kind of a nerd, I enjoy reading a lot. I tattoo barefoot. I practice piano every day. I've been playing since I was 6. English was my second language. I've been drawing all my life, and one of the kids was, tattooing all this with his homemade machine. He was just like, you should tattoo me, and I'm like, okay. And I did it, and I loved it, and I've been doing it since. Hi, my name is Kat Von D, and I'm a tattooer because I believe that that's what I was born to do.
Our next guest is tattoo artist of both the rich and famous and the poor and unknown. You can see her brandish her needle expertly on TLC's LA Ink. Please welcome Kat Von D.
Kat Von D back in the studio on the Kevin and Bean Show tonight at 10 on TLC. The second half, follow me here, Kevin, the second half of the fourth season of LA Ink premieres tonight.
So second half of the fourth season.
Got it. Kat, you crazy. Tattooed Lady Gaga? I didn't know that.
You guys changed my intro. Awesome. It's updated.
Yeah,
that was an old one. I tattooed her a long time ago. It was cool. She was really awesome.
Where was she in her arc? I mean, was this after Just Dance?
No, she had just moved out to LA, and I've told the story before, but it's really awesome. She's like, I'm like, yeah, so what do you do? And she's like, oh, man, I just moved out here to make it big. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you and everybody else.
You and everybody else.
Yeah,
luck
like,
with that.
Cool, sweet. And then,
so you're a waitress?
Yeah. And then I tattooed her. And, literally a week later, I was driving down Hollywood Boulevard, and I just saw her face everywhere. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's awesome. She did it. Like,
in 1 week,
you did
she
it. You did it. No, but, obviously.
That's hilarious. Now, did you have any kind of vibe at her, or did you just, everybody says they've moved to L.A. to make it. Did you just figure you were never going to hear from her again, or do you have some special feeling about her?
No, I mean, we discussed what type of music she was into and what she was doing, and I don't really know a lot about that genre. I guess I like mm-hmm. some pop and stuff like that, but I don't know. There was no judgment, I just didn't know anything about her, and I'm like, oh, that's cool, whatever.
What kind of tattoo did you give her?
I gave her this rose on her hip.
How about that?
Do you get a feeling about people who you tattoo sometimes and sometimes not?
Like, what do you mean?
Just a feeling of I would like to hang out with this person, or
oh, yeah.
I would never like to hang out with
yeah,
this
I
person.
Yeah, I mean, I've made some of my best friends through my work, because I think, you spend so much time. It's very intimate, and it's like one-on-one. And usually when people are getting tattooed, they're getting something that's important to them, so you really get to know them in
right.
that sense. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
And you're causing them pain.
So
you got that together.
Sadly.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before, Kat, but I was curious, and this plays off of what Kevin's question was, which was, you must get hit on all the time.
No.
I mean, hot chicks get hit on anyway, but B, because of the intensity of what you're doing to somebody, like you said, you're spending sometimes a long time with this person, and it's a very intimate thing. I would imagine that look, I fall in love with a chick who dies, who cuts my hair, So what must it be like for you?
No. I don't know. I don't know.
Do people try and keep coming back and coming back? And let's have someone else do it.
I remember this one time. I was tattooing this guy on the inside of his bicep, and so my face was really close to his armpit.
Yes.
And I just remember we were talking about stuff, and then it got quiet, and then. And I was just focusing on my tattoo, and the next thing you know, I think he had a moment, and he thought there was something, and I'm like,
Did he lean in and kiss you?
No, he tried, and I remember I backed up in the middle of the tattoo, and I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? No, it was really awkward. But, we finished the tattoo, and I haven't seen him since, so.
the second half of the fourth season of LA Ink premieres tonight at 10 o'clock on TLC. Now, I understand that I'm wading into some waters here that may cause cause you to unplug your headphones and walk out like you do.
No. Hey, wait a minute. I don't do that.
First I know all, you don't.
I've never done that until last week?
I tease, Kat. I'm very confident that you'll enjoy this conversation. But we are in a portion of the season where you're going to start to see some things that perhaps are not going to be coming true. You're going to start to be making some plans on your TV shows for some events like weddings that aren't happening.
Uh-huh. How do you know that? It didn't happen? I'm just kidding.
How far back is this part of the season?
What's crazy is, you know, we'll film an entire, we just finished filming, uh-huh. And so then they'll kind of cut it up. I mean, I don't know what they do in the editing room, you know, but like they'll cut up certain story beats and put them in different episodes.
Right.
So it's not necessarily always in order, you know.
Were you shooting during the latest part of your private life?
Did we stop filming? A couple months ago.
So basically you have to sort of live through that twice.
Yeah.
Once in real life and then once again when it's on the show.
And then how many times during reruns?
Yeah, right. True. I mean, don't you have an episode coming up where you're shopping for a wedding dress, right? I mean, that's on the show.
Oh, no, I don't shop for wedding dresses. I mean,
you're having one made, I guess.
Yeah, I was designing my own, you know? I don't do that, no. You know, we got picked up for this part of the season. Obviously, you know, everybody knew that I was dating Jesse and stuff. And you know, you guys know me. I'm like an open book. And it's not that I'm trying to put my information out there. I just don't know any other way to be other than just myself, you know? So, you know, I made an agreement with the network that I was okay with, you know, having him on the show if it happened organically. But I wasn't going to infuse it in it. Like, my show is about tattooing. So.
Right.
And they were really cool about that. So there are a few episodes with Jesse in it, and I'm totally proud of the season. So, you know, I think a lot of people get all like funny, like, oh, you got a tattoo. I'm like, there's no regrets, man. I mean, you know.
That's the one thing we've asked you many times is, do you have any regrets? Because you do tattoo something of somebody who you're in love with.
Yeah.
Quite often. And yet a lot of people, a lot of those kind of people come back and go, take it off. I've never regretted.
Yeah, I don't have any regrets. I think it's funny, though, because I think because of the show, people assume that, like, I don't know. People say, like, you know, she just goes, like, from dude to dude, and she goes through dudes really fast. And I'm like, you know, I Jesse was in my ninth, you know, I don't want to say boyfriend. He was my fiance. But, like, you know, that's not that many. Since I was 14
really
years old.
Not.
Like,
right.
You know, and they're all long term. I think my shortest relationship was this one, you know. So
right.
It's like kind of strange.
Lisa,
I don't have like 20 tattoos for 20 guys. Like,
right. This year.
Yeah.
But Lisa, you had 9 guys that one week in Mexico. Remember?
What?
So, I mean,
it was a slow weekend.
Well, you know, in Mexico, you're drinking. I don't know. I don't keep count when I'm there.
Your show is about tattooing, but you know that people do fall in love with and they like to follow the personalities on your show, too. I mean,
sure.
They're interested in the interaction between you guys and then some of your personal life leaks in. And that is also part of the show. Certainly.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, and like you said, you've always been honest about sharing that with, the television cameras, too.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You sound like you're in a great place right now.
Always.
Considering how painful some aspects of this year has been, it sounds like you came through it okay.
Yeah, I'm good. I mean, I guess, you know, I'm surprised that, like, that we haven't talked about, like, the Good Day LA stuff yet, but it's like, you know, and I think...
We can talk about it or not if you want.
I don't care.
Okay, good. You walked out on them.
I always feel comfortable talking with you guys. Yes, I did walk out on them, and I know it was, I guess, considered professional on my behalf. I think it's like, I don't know, I'm not perfect. You know, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for it and... all that,
it was just too much for you to handle at the time.
I mean, they pulled some inappropriate stuff that was behind the scenes stuff that I think a lot of people don't know, you know. And
I see.
I could sit here and explain and all that stuff, but it just turns into storytelling, and I don't really care.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Good enough. I saw Kat at LA Rising, and I said, hey, how you doing? She said, I'm fine.
Well, it was the coolest part about going, you know, because I went because, you know, Muse was playing. I'd never seen them before. And then we get in line. I'm like... whoa, it's Kevin. That's awesome. This is the best part about it. And
right.
I'm like, why are you in line?
Let me finish the story.
Oh, yeah.
So she says, why are you standing in line? And I said, because that's how you get in. Right?
Yeah.
You have to get searched.
Yeah, but
they don't helicopter
you're like,
you in.
I'm like, what?
What?
I'm like standing in line is what I'm
you're
doing.
You're a rock star.
Yeah, so then they call Kat.
come, Kat, come on up. Right at the exact moment when we're talking about standing in line.
Hey, what did I do?
So she says, stay here with me.
I go, hey, yeah, come on, come with me.
He's with me. And she put her arm up and stopped me. Like, and I was like, hey.
The security guard, yeah.
How come I couldn't be with her? What? And it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with she's a female and they have females that search females.
And I'm
females?
Like, don't you wish you had boobs?
Yeah. And there were males that search males. But for a minute, I thought, I couldn't be within her group. My feelings,
by the way,
they could tell just by looking at you.
Kat, thank God Kevin doesn't have boobs. He'd never come to work. He'd just stay at home and play with them all day. All right. We have to take a break. Our friend Kat Von D is here in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, LA Inc. on TLC tonight at 10. We'll discuss more with Kat after this. Come back. The beautiful Kat Von D in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. LA Inc. is your show, of course. What are you? You're in your fourth season already now, right?
Yeah, it feels like it's like the 20th.
I can't remember before it was on, that's for sure.
Yeah, like some seasons, I guess you could call them, are like 39 episodes. You know, it's just so crazy.
What is your life like apart when you're not filming compared to when you're filming? Is it just...
It's a lot more peaceful when without the cameras, you know, like production. I think people don't understand until they come and get tattooed on the show, like the production part of it, you know, mm-hmm. a tattoo that could take 2 to 3 hours ends up taking an entire day just because of, you know, you have to get mic'd and you have to come in. But you know, the company that does our show, like they're really good about making it as easy for people and as organic as possible. So this season I think was like surprisingly like easy and fun. So,
do you get a lot of people who want to get tattooed there just so that they can be on TV?
I'm not sure. I think maybe in the beginning, like when we first started doing the show, but now I think people like, you know, if they love Dan Smith's work, they'll go and get, they want, they're just excited about that, you know, and the opportunity to do that.
Right. Yeah. I follow you on Twitter, by the way.
You do?
The Kat Von D, by the way, is where you go.
It's because someone took Kat Von D, and so I had to take it. I was like, so bummed.
And someone who's wasting it, too. Someone who's not even doing anything with it, right?
Yeah.
But it's the official is The Kat Von D. And, you have almost 600,000 followers.
I do?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Are you the type of person who are now at the point where you have so many people following that you're a little bit intimidated and it really like makes you nervous when you tweet, or do you just not give an F?
She didn't know that.
Yeah, no, but you know what's funny? It's like with like the recent stuff that happened, the negativity. Like, I definitely had to step away from the Twitter for a minute because, you know, I'm pretty sensitive, I think. Well, yeah. I know I am, and as tough as I may look,
you're Mexican. You're allowed to be.
Really? Is that the rule?
Yeah, absolutely. You're emotional. I get that. And I'm sure everybody has an opinion. They think they know you, and they think they understand your situation, so they want to tell you what they think, right?
Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I get surprised just because there is a lot of positivity on there, and there are things about Twitter that I look forward to. Like, they're like, kids are like, not just kids, people in general are always like posting artwork and stuff, and it just like makes me so happy to be a part of that, and it makes it worth, you know, being called names.
Which also happens.
Yes, a lot.
I don't understand. 12 hours ago, so that would have been, 8:30 last night, you tweeted only Jesse's Twitter address.
Oh,
that's
no,
the entirety
no.
of the whole tweet.
I put dot, dot, dot afterwards.
Okay. Tell me about that. What the hell does that mean?
Well, that's very different.
No.
Does that mean to be continued? Like there's more to this story than we know? Or what does that mean?
No, you know, I don't know how to spell a sigh. You know, like when you're like, you know?
S-I-G-H, right?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I know people do it with a little, like, what is asterisk things.
Yes.
But that seems kind of like Dungeons and Dragons or something. So I'm just like, I just put dot, dot, dot. Because, you know, he had posted this picture blog thing. I didn't know like somebody had retweeted it,
mm-hmm.
and I remember the pictures. It was like all pictures that he had took of, you know, I was away working, and he was like, hey, all these things remind me of you, and it was like a set of my false eyelashes and like one of my rosaries and a piano key, and I saw the pictures, and so I don't know how to spell sigh, so I just put dot, dot, dot,
dot,
and everyone's like, whoa,
what
I'm like,
mean?
Jesus, never mind. I'm like, sorry. And if I delete it now, it's going to turn into a thing, you know?
Right. So it sounds like there's still a great deal of affection there. You guys are still...
I love Jesse.
Friendly?
Yeah, I mean, it's... It's pretty new, you know. I mean, I have a lot of love for him. You know, I meant everything I said. So
the story, and who knows? I never know what to believe when celebrity romance is reported on. But the story made it
believe
sound
nothing.
Like it was almost just a question of distance, and that was the deal breaker. It's just 1,500 miles apart. It's just too much to keep a relationship going. Is that oversimplifying the problem?
Yeah,
I don't
think it's that. I mean, I think like. I'm a very passionate person, and I'm a hopeless romantic. Like, there's no amount of distance that could, like, keep me from making something happen, you know?
Right.
So they're very.
But I guess it's a safe statement to make or something.
There are very few people in this world who I like as much as you, who when I see something negative, I go, oh, that really sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really felt bad. And then it starts showing up in the tabloids.
Yeah,
and, oh,
people say mean stuff.
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
So that really...
Yeah.
That's how really, I felt when I saw it.
Oh, don't. It's okay, because if I'm not sweating it, you know, whatever, it's good.
Then I don't need to.
Yeah.
One more question.
I'm
going to
tweet
this.
You yeah. next time. Are you sweating this?
Don't sweat it. What's the question?
And this is a big picture question okay. that lots of people in your situation have to face with. I mean, sure. you don't give up on love, especially somebody like you who is a passionate person. But I mean, are you a little more going to be a little more reserved next time after two high profile breakdowns? Is this something you're going to like do everything you can now
break
to
ups.
Stay?
They're not breakdowns.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I mean relationships breaking down, but you know what I mean.
You know, I don't know. I think it's within me. Like it's part of my programming. I'm just a romantic person, you know. So no, I refuse to let the past traumatize me to where you know, like I can't love. You know, like I have too
right.
much love to not. Not do that, you know.
Would it be worthwhile to try to
I'm already dating somebody. I'm just kidding. Totally kidding.
I was going to ask if it would be worthwhile to try to keep it as private as possible next time and not even let people know who you're dating.
Yeah, you know, I think people have the misconception that, like, I'm out there trying to show something off, and that's not the case. I'm just being myself, and, like, you know, if you ask me a question, I will answer you honestly, and people ask a question, and it's not me saying, hey, everybody, look at me. Like, I love my privacy, and I love quiet and silence and... all that stuff, but I'm not going to not be myself, you know?
Well, I think that's good. I think what you're doing is working for
Thank
you.
Thank you. Kind of.
All right. Well, we're out of time.
Yeah.
LA Ig, anything in particular about tonight's episode? That,
oh, yeah.
You,
it is on
mention?
Tonight. Yeah, well, if you like tattoos, you should tune in.
There you go.
There's some really
well,
good
there you go.
Ones.
I never would have thought of that.
Yep.
Tonight at 10 p.m. on TLC.
We love you, Kat. Thank
hey,
you so
thank
much for coming
you.
In.
Bye.
How much do you love Kat Von D, by the way?
She's
love
the best.
Her.
The most.
She's the best, right?
Yeah.
I miss her already. Petros Papadakis on the show tomorrow. Also,
he's
it's
the
Friday.
Same. He's the same as Kat.
Also, it's Friday. That means we got the movie beat for you. LaQuisha reviews tonight's premiere of Jersey Shore, Italy, and Mr. Skin. All of that tomorrow right here on The Kevin and Bean Show.
You know how occasionally people will view you and all of a sudden somebody will tell you, hey, why are you so fill in the blank, crazy, stupid, whatever.
And
you
go, I hope not.
And you go, that's what people think about me? Because you don't have that insight into yourself at all?
Mm-hmm.
Bean cannot understand for the life of him why people think he's creepy.
I'm not creepy.
He can't see that about himself.
And there it is.
And there it is.
But I'm not. Lisa, do you think I'm creepy?
You can be creepy.
How dare you? So yesterday.
Wait a minute. You asked her opinion. You don't just say, how dare you? She answered your question. Yeah. You could be
well,
creepy.
You can.
She's
you get
wrong.
Right on the
she's
creepy
just
side.
She's just jumping in on the mob mentality of let's lynch Bean. But listen, so yesterday on this show, this was very disturbing. And I know, Kevin, you think I should see that conversation. And I know you have some highlights to
I
play
do.
From yesterday. I should see this conversation as some sort of an intervention, some sort of an eye opener, right?
Maybe get a clue because you can deliver things in a non-creepy way, and yet you always choose creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I think you say it's creepy, but it's not really. But yesterday we found out that intern Santana, who maybe is the most attractive intern we've ever had on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's so hot. We found out yesterday that she thinks I'm creepy, and that was very, very disturbing to me. And I guess the reason, what, the clip says that it has something to do with Twitter, right?
It's you tweeting her. Yes, I have the clip, and this is from yesterday's show, intern Santana.
Bean tends to have a perverted side.
What?
Really?
What have I done? What have I said?
Like the time you tweeted at me.
Oh, what did he tweet
oh,
you?
No.
I tweeted, like about to eat 3 popsicles to beat the heat.
Right.
Hashtag no shame. Like I didn't even think it was being sexual, but
it
of course
wasn't.
He tweets me back being like, hope there's video footage of that. I want to see it.
No wonder. It's the tweet world.
Tell me you wouldn't have said the same thing if you pictured Santana eating popsicles to beat the heat.
Bean,
that's a good deal.
Bean, listen to me. We all think it. We all don't say it because it's creepy.
So my crime is being too honest. That's the problem
no,
I have.
No, your crime's
here.
Being creepy and perverted.
You're creepy.
Who knew that Bean was even like skeeving on the interns by following him on Twitter
and
stuff?
I don't skeeve.
Yeah, I wish I had video of that. I'm Buzz. Video coverage of that. Where else are you putting the popsicle?
Man.
Hashtag disgusting pervert.
No wonder. So that happened yesterday.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bean was shocked and outraged that we would think that he's creepy.
I am shocked because, as I explained to Santana yesterday in the last conversation she'll probably ever have with me, she's an intern on this show. And part of the reason she wanted to intern on the show is because she was already a fan of the Kevin Beach
right.
show. So I thought, here's somebody who has a similar sense of humor to ours. Mm-hmm. She will get the joke and, ooh, wish I'd video you with the popsicles, because clearly that's me being funny. That's not me skeeving on her at all. So now you guys are trying to make it sound like I'm sitting at home just, you know, doing nothing but seeing who I can sexually harass on the internet. That's just not the case.
It's funny that you would claim that's just not the case, because you know that microphone that you're talking to?
This one right here? Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. Right.
Yeah, we can hear it. We can hear it. We can tune into it.
Mm-hmm.
And, what are you talking about? What do you mean?
I have a piece of tape. This is from you while you were tweeting Santana.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, that's hardly
while
fair.
While you were tweeting Santana. I'm just saying, you said
private time.
You skeeve. You don't. You're not creepy.
So let's see if that's true.
So let's see exactly how it went down.
Tater Tot, down. Go play with Gumdrop and Foo Foo Bear.
Three popsicles. Where's the video feed for that? You're perverted.
What? How could you say that? If you think I'm perverted, you should see my genitals.
No,
leave me alone. If I was with you, there would be no leaving. That's why I use the chains in the basement.
Come on.
I'm Bean. I'm going to alert the authorities. Maybe you should make a citizen's arrest and handcuff my genitals. I'm Bean. I've called the police. What does Sting have to do with any of this? Oh, that's not sexy. But it is funny.
So now you know what really happened.
That's clearly not what happened. Remember yesterday at this time where we talked about how Tito Ortiz was going to be joining us after the top of the hour to talk about UFC 133?
Right.
We were lying. That didn't happen. There was no Tito. But today.
We mean
today, there really is a Tito.
Yeah.
We really are going to talk to him. But it's coming up next here on the Kevin DeBeat Show. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Thursday. What's happening?
Quick email before I get to the showbiz news. Comes from listener April. Oh, my. After listening to Bean's stalkery creepishness directed at intern Santana, then composing myself from tears and drool in the middle of my office, I came up with a new segment suggestion, Bean the Creepster.
I like
Allow
it.
Any female guest or intern to have a buzzer and then force them to have a one-on-one conversation with Bean and let us listeners enjoy the awkward 60 seconds or less it takes Bean to creep her out and for her to hit the buzzer. Think about it. Good times, April.
That's a great idea.
Any conversation as a woman, we give the woman a buzzer and she can just ring in the minute Bean gets creepy.
I like it.
I think Santana was exaggerating for comedic effect yesterday, by the way. I really do.
I don't
know you do.
Obviously, I stuck with her.
What I heard was she was begging me to contact her and to go harder.
That's what you heard?
That's what
my
takeaway is she loves me.
Therein lies the problem. Right there. That's the problem right there. Right there.
Sad news this week as Bubba Smith, the legendary Moses Hightower from all those Police Academy movies, passed away this week at his home in Baldwin Hills. 66 years old, according to LA County's coroner spokesman. There was no suspicious nature to his death, but still, it's young. He was a Baltimore Colt, too, back in the days in the NFL and won a Super Bowl with them in 1971. They went on to star in the Police Academy movies and do a bunch of television, including Good Times, Charlie's Angels, and Miller Lite commercials and such, but very charming, entertaining guy, and he has long since passed. If you want to find yourself an entertaining clip, I forget what it's called on YouTube, but I think it's Bubba Smith Loves and then the C word.
Okay.
Punch that in, and it'll pull up a show from England where this beautiful woman is an interviewer, and she pranks celebrities.
Yes.
And they don't see it coming because she is so demure and sexy and young and sweet. But she comes into their home to interview them, thinking, and they think they're going to be interviewed about something, and she goes a completely different direction.
Right.
And in this particular case, she goes to interview Bubba Smith, star of the Police Academy movies. And this is a pretty recent interview. And he thinks that she's coming to see his house, and the segment is on celebrity homes.
Right.
She comes in and sets up an easel with photographs, and ends up she's interviewing him about celebrity homos. And she starts to ask him super embarrassing questions about Elton John and George Michael, and which one of these guys would you have sex with? Would you let him do this? She starts getting very explicit about the details of what the sex would be like. And poor Bubba Smith is trying so hard not to be a dick.
That's
but
funny.
He's just mortified and wants the interview to end very quickly.
Especially
so.
Guys in the sports world.
Oh, yes.
Know, that are
he's
tough.
Very macho, yeah, sure. And he is wigged out completely. He's like, so which of these guys would you have sex with? He's like, none of really. But if you had to pick one...
George Michael.
He just gives it up eventually. So check that out if you get a chance. It's not safe for work, but it's very, very entertaining. Rupert Murdoch's News Corp has been hit with a pile of allegations saying that they hacked into people's phone messages to get news stories for their tabloids. Well, now apparently it is spreading not just from that organization, but also to another tabloid called the Daily Mirror, which is owned by the Mirror Group. Heather Mills, ex of Paul McCartney, says that her messages were hacked and intercepted by the Daily Mirror. But it gets more interesting because CNN and America's Got Talent's Piers Morgan was the editor of the Daily Mirror at the time when this happened.
Oh.
She is accusing Piers Morgan of hacking into her phone records and getting information about her and then-husband Paul McCartney. And she says that Piers even admitted it to Paul.
Really?
Yeah.
When this story first broke, when he was tied into some of the phone hacking as an editor a couple of weeks ago, I thought, how can CNN, I mean, is this going to have ramifications for his job? Could he lose his job at CNN if he has shown that lapse of journalistic integrity and he's on their network being one of their correspondents?
Well,
what do
no
you think?
I would
yet.
Say, of course, if there's proof and it's tied to him, of
well,
course.
Apparently he was bragging to people about that's how he got a story at one point, a couple of years ago. He was bragging about it, I mean, from his own mouth.
Hmm. Well,
so I'm just wondering if they'll say, well, that was he was working at a newspaper then in another country a couple of years ago. We don't really care. That didn't have anything to do with that. I just wonder what'll happen.
Well, the Heather Mills story is less problematic because she is known to fabricate stories herself when it comes to her own best interest.
Yeah.
So if she's planning a lawsuit or something, it might be hard to say that she's telling the truth. When it's proven she lied a bunch about her relationship with Paul when they were getting the divorce. So. She's not exactly the best witness for the prosecution, but we'll have to wait and see what happens. Cheap Trick isn't taking any more chances. I don't know if you heard about it or not, but they were on stage in Ottawa when the stage collapsed and they were almost crushed to death.
Ouch.
Yeah, that was bad. They decided to cancel a show in Vancouver because the same company is setting up the stage there, and they said they're not going to go back on another one of those stages.
Did you guys see the footage of that collapse?
Yeah,
YouTube
it's pretty
footage?
Scary.
Oh, my God. It's the entire stage just falls apart.
Ouch.
And more music news. The Kings of Leon story gets deeper and deeper. Caleb Folliwell's brothers, who are also his bandmates, want him to go into rehab right away because, here's the quote from the band, he's been drinking like a fish, they're saying now.
Mm.
So it looks like we do have a definitive cause why they had to cancel their U.S. tour. But no word yet on whether Caleb is going to get treatment or not for his drinking. Some people don't know they have a problem, Kevin. I'm just saying.
Why did you say my name?
No, I'm just because you're in the room. We're talking.
Oh, I see. Having a conversation?
Yeah. Oh, I see. I just not go to rehab. I just do socially.
Wait till this weekend.
Where's my wallet? Where's my phone? Where's my key card?
Was Caleb showing up for work late a lot?
He
Does
was.
It say in the article?
He was, yes.
Interesting.
Reporting a lot of nausea, you know, not feeling well. I'm just saying. There are some symptoms. And speaking of nausea, E! Has announced a date for Kim's Fairy Tale Wedding, a Kardashian event, which will be the 2-hour special that will feature Kim Kardashian's upcoming wedding. I think she gets married.
It's a horrible idea.
Yeah. Sunday, October the 9th, we'll all be able to partake in the glory that is Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries' wedding.
Or not.
Or not?
Yeah. Or not.
It's not going
to
happen?
No,
not
we don't have to
watch.
We don't have to partake.
So maybe you had some inside information.
No,
maybe
no.
It's going to be a runaway bride situation.
We don't have to watch it.
I'm just looking forward to seeing Chloe eat the entire cake.
They're going to get two.
Just gone. Today's celebrity birthdays. Richard Belzer, 67 years old today. Billy Bob Thornton is 56.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about your birthday. You're 56.
I don't know what you mean by that.
You've been alive for 56 years.
I'm not sure what that means.
It means you were born 56 years ago today. Pretty clear.
I don't know. Maybe.
No, not maybe. It's definitive. Everyone knows when your birthday is. It's today.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
No, because today's not Tom Petty's birthday. God, I hate Billy Bob Thornton. It's so frustrating. President of the United States Barack Obama is 50 years old. Daniel Day Kim is 43.
Hey!
And we've been celebrating his or her work, Yo-Yo, all day long. Rapper Yo-Yo, we've been celebrating Miss Rap Supreme. I guess it's a woman, that Yo-Yo. She's 40 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ralph's got the showbiz beat coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, thank God the NFL is back. Am I right about that, ladies?
Absolutely.
What? Seriously. I mean, I was getting awfully nervous there for a minute, but the NFL has settled their lockout. They are back, and now there's all sorts of big news coming out, not just about the players, but also about the cheerleaders, and you won't believe this story.
Woo! Red Ash, baby! Red Ash!
The Raiders' newest cheerleader, just hired by the club for next season, starting in a couple of weeks here, is named Susie Sanchez. Now, she is not like your other cheerleaders because she is a grandmother.
Yeah!
The Raiders did not hire a grandmother to be a cheerleader. No way.
Apparently, yes way. She claims, and I'm looking at the picture as I say that, to be just 37 years old. But I don't know.
I don't think so.
That's a rough 37, right?
Yeah.
That's a hard live 37 if she's 37.
She's got three kids, apparently, and one grandchild, and she is the latest Raider cheerleader. So we asked producer Alex if she could line up Susie Sanchez for us, the new cheerleader for the Oakland Raiders, and Miss Sanchez joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Susie. How are you?
What's up, eh? Stupid. Hello?
Hi. Congratulations, I guess. This is a lifelong dream of yours. You've always wanted to be a professional football cheerleader, and now you are.
Damn, it's crazy, right? I get to dance around all pretty, whatever.
Now, this says that you're 37. How old are you really?
I'm like totally 37. Don't be stupid.
I see. So you are 37 then.
Mira, you guys like Blue's Clues?
What?
I love Blue's Clues. I watch it with my kids. It's stupid. Blues and their clues. Yeah, stupid.
Right. Yeah. Aren't your kids like 30 now though?
My youngest is 12, and then my oldest is 34.
Okay. So you had your oldest when you were 3 years old?
I think so. Yeah. Whatever. Because of my belly. Dude, my belly all cut up.
So 37 might just be an estimate of your age.
Whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like maybe so, like 37, maybe not. Who cares? Like Lisa May, how's your hair, girl?
My hair's very crunchy. Thank you.
I'll hook it up. You should come over. I'll put the rollers in, whatever.
Sounds fun.
Dumb, Nina.
Now, apparently, and I guess I wasn't aware of this or not, you are not the first grandmother who has cheered for the Raiders. Kathy Farron was a Raiderette back in the 2003 series, and she was also a grandmother. What's the deal here? Why are they going after, I don't know, I don't mean to be insensitive here, but such old ladies to be on the sidelines?
Because it's like little girls don't know nothing. Like us old ladies, like, we can do good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like in the bedroom or with our eyebrows or like with our clothes. And like, you know, the Raiders make us a special jersey to hide all our tummy scars, you know, from babies being cut out.
Right, but how do you think you're going to be received by the Raider fans?
I'm going to be receiving tons of Raider fans, fool. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
You guys want to hear some of the cheers I'm working on?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize you had your own cheers. Okay.
Okay, stupid. Hold on. Let me put my phone down so you can hear on the, what's it called, the speaker?
Speakerphone.
Here we go.
All right, new technology for you.
2, 4, 6, 8, scandalous.
That's not
that's
a,
it?
What is that? That doesn't, isn't that doesn't make
to,
any sense.
Isn't this supposed to rhyme a little?
Good. That was so good. How about like this? Like,
okay. All right.
Ready? Okay. Damn.
I think that was a keeper.
That's good, right?
Sure.
Okay, this is the last one. Listen.
Okay.
Listen, this one's good. For real, I did this at the what's it called? The Como Se the Swap Meet, stupid. Listen.
Okay.
Ready? Fight on. Scandalous.
Okay, Susie, you're not even trying. Why don't you let the professionals come up with the cheers and you just do what the other girls are doing?
I have to shave my choo-choo, huh?
Yes, you do.
Orale.
I think that would be advisable.
Hey, it's that band with that song on 106.7 KROQ at 9:40. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for the Showbiz Beat one more time with Ralph Garman. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, things are going on. I've got passes. Why is the music so loud?
What?
Turn down the music.
It's an excellent question.
I've got passes to give away to the red carpet world premiere of 30 Minutes or Less.
Yay!
History of Domino's Pizza. It's a documentary about how they originally came up with the recipe for their pizza. And then
Ralph, I think this is
an advertising campaign, which of course made them famous. The Noid.
No.
The Noid, I think, is covered in this documentary as well.
You want to avoid the Noid.
Remember that always.
This is a comedy about a bank robber, is what it is, with very funny people. Danny McBride and Aziz Ansari.
Yeah, that's why they call it 30 Minutes or Less, I'm sure. You know, if it was about a bank robber, they'd be called... Oh, tell her, give me all your money. That's
right.
Jesse
Eisenberg works as a pizza delivery man in the film. Uh-huh. That's the tie. That's what the 30 Minutes or Less is all about.
All right, Captain Showbiz. Okay, Mr. Hollywood, if you know all the answers about movies, fine. If that's what you want to think, feel free. Anyway, if you'd like to see this film, I suggest you do. And I suggest you call right now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call for the red carpet world premiere passes. I've got three pairs of passes to give away. So first three callers that come through will be able to go and see Jesse Eisenberg and Aziz Ansari and Danny McBride and Nick Swardson and all the other funny people that are in this motion picture. It's happening next Monday and then the movies in theaters everywhere on Friday. So good luck, everybody. Let's talk about showbiz news. Kirstie Alley, capitalizing on her popularity after her stint on Dancing with the Stars, has been signed to a new fall sitcom for ABC. Called The Manzanis. She plays Mrs. Manzani, wife to Mr. Manzani, and mom to the little Manzanis.
Now, her last series was that Fat Actress show, right?
Yes, that was a pseudo-reality show.
Yeah, and this I actually watched that.
Was
I
it
like
good?
Her. Yeah, it wasn't very good, but I like her.
All right. Was it on after Carpoolers? Is that how you couldn't avoid it?
Yeah, exactly. It was the big one-two Wednesday
feature.
Night.
Yeah.
But this is a scripted comedy on a network, Ralph?
This is a situation comedy with a script and everything.
All right.
So you got that going for you. Network execs say it's a new take on a fresh series like Roseanne. So we got the new Roseanne coming to theaters or TVs near you. More television news. It's a big TV news week because it's the Television Critics Association press tour. So all of the networks trot out their series casts and put them in front of the press. And a lot of things get revealed, like the fact that Mark Helgenberger of CSI will be leaving CSI at the end of this upcoming season.
I don't know. So that's a toss-up.
She was there with Ted Danson, who, of course, is taking over the role as the boss of the CSI team this season. And she said after this season, her character, Catherine, will be going away. So
it does seem like, there's shows in the past that have run for, 15, 20 years or something, just because ER is a good example of one, Hill Street Blues, where you have major characters that are on for a few seasons and then they're gone. And the show still seems to survive just because of the strength of the writing and the setup.
Well, CSI is the ultimate formula show. As you can see, they just move it from city to city to city, and it keeps being a hit because the premise is, the star of the show is really the premise and the forensics of it all, the procedure of it all, much like Law and Order and other films like that. For film fans, this is interesting news. Alfred Hitchcock's earliest surviving feature film has been discovered. It was made in 1924. It's called The White Shadow. Why the shadow gotta be white? That's all I ask.
I want a good movie.
This was apparently mislabeled since the 80s. It was stored in a vault with some other prints, and it was mislabeled. Someone was going through cataloging of it all, and they found out it was actually Hitchcock's earliest surviving film. So apparently they're going to do some work on it and preserve it and revamp it and then release it for us all to see. So,
that's be interesting.
Interesting concept. It's about a pair of twins played by an actress named Betty Compton, one good and one evil. And it's got mistaken identity, romance, madness, even transmigration of souls.
Wow.
According to film scholars. So, sounds like an interesting, complex film, certainly for the 1920s. So, worth checking out. And Jerry Lewis, he's having a bad day. Apparently, the MDA, the Muscular Dystrophy Association, has decided he's no longer necessary on the
Labor Day telethon, a staple of television for lo these many years.
My whole life that show's been on Labor Day weekend.
That's true.
What was the falling out? I mean, you think he's the best thing that's ever happened to that charity.
Well, he announced that this would be his last telethon, and he would just be making an appearance. He wouldn't be hosting the full telethon. At 85 years old, he just doesn't have the strength any longer. And then the MDA chairman stepped forward this morning and said he's a world-class humanitarian. We're forever grateful to him for more than a half a century of service to the MDA, but he will not be on the telethon this year. So I guess they figure they're going to move in a new direction and try to get a new audience. They're also shortening the telethon from its 21 and a half hours that usually runs to 6. Hardly a telethon, by the way. Hardly a telethon.
It's really just a show at
this
point.
That's just a long movie, really. So, poor Jerry.
That's all part of the good America
that
I believe in.
Right.
Okay. That's the wonderful part, because as much as we are...
Right.
Brought up,
yes,
certainly in different cultures all over the world.
But
when you come right down to it,
what about America?
Bottoms out at human condition. Yeah.
He sounds fine to me.
If the human condition is right, it serves you, the human,
right,
and it serves us out there,
also
who should be on the periphery.
But we're humans, though, right?
What a loss to not have that guy behind
the microphone. Why the show ran 21 and a half hours. It wasn't that they had the content. It's just he would go on like that. And now, with him gone, it just naturally shortens it down to 6. Jerry, apparently in a statement this week, said, "Blaming Hogan." No one really knows what that means. And now we know the character name that Ashton Kutcher will be playing on 2 and a Half Men. They announced it this week. He'll be an internet billionaire named Walden Schmidt.
Okay.
And there had been some rumors that Ashton would be playing himself on the series, but no, apparently Walden Schmidt is the name of the character, and the character comes in and buys the home of the now-deceased Charlie Sheen character on that show, and that's how we kick off the new season.
That is amazing.
And is anyone interested in another Beatles musical? Do we need another one? Well, whether you like it or not, you're getting one. This stage musical opens this fall in London before it heads to Broadway, they hope. And it's based on the 1994 movie called Backbeat, which was about the early days of the Beatles in their earliest performing days in Liverpool and Hamburg, Germany. When there were 5 Beatles back in the day.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie. I enjoyed that. I don't know if it's going to be a musical because there's no Beatle music in the show. Just a lot of the rock and R&B covers they used to play in clubs back in the late 50s, early 60s, before they really made it big. So sounds like a bit of a stretch, but Lisa will tell us all about it after she goes to see it, because she's our theater gal. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Belzer, 67 years old today. He's got one nut.
That's all we know. Well, I remember about him.
He's on this Law & Order SVU, I think. He's on that show.
But mostly, let's just remember.
He's got one nut. That's what we know about him. 67 years old. President of the United States of America, Barack Obama, celebrates his 50th birthday. Actor Daniel Day Kim from Lost and Hawaii Five-O is 43. And Billy Bob Thornton, Oscar winner Billy Bob Thornton, celebrates his 56th birthday today. Happy birthday, Billy Bob. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph Garman. And don't forget to join us tomorrow for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. I think it's going to be a good one. Our friend Petrith Papadakis is going to be joining us talking about all things sports, including the NBA lockout. And by the way, Ralph, heard precious little from you about these offseason moves the Eagles have been making, which has everybody saying they're the team to beat in the NFC.
I've been talking about it quite a bit, just not so much on the air. But
it's unbelievable what they've done with their offseason, right?
Yes, they've had the best free agency of all the teams in the NFL this year, and the best free agency in the history of the franchise. And really, what it means is nothing. Everyone has to remember that you don't win Super Bowls in July.
Right, yeah. Of course. But
the press made a big deal. They're like, oh, this is the team to beat. They're going to win the Super Bowl. And then 2 weeks later, like, who these Eagles think they are? They're not as good as the Packers, this team. Oh, these people with their arrogance. They built them up, I think, just to tear them down. No one really from the organization has said anything about it.
Well, it's very possible. We'll talk to Petros about the NFL season almost underway, and also about the NBA lockout. Also, I understand he's still very upset, Ralph, with how the Bachelorette came out.
I know. He was pulling for JP. For Ben all the while. And I was
Who could blame him? love. Yeah. Also, it's Friday. That means we got the movie beat tomorrow. LaQuisha is going to be on for the first time in a while. She, as you know, is our Jersey Shore correspondent. Tonight is the premiere of the brand new Jersey Shore season. This is the one in Italy. This one might be fun. This might be worth watching. Although we will be embarrassed as Americans, I think, to watch this particular show.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Skin on the program tomorrow, too, as well. I can't wait for that. And we didn't have time for it today, but you'll be happy to know the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices. That comes back tomorrow, right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
No.